Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, you guys haven't started yet. This is the June 1st, 2021 meeting. I believe Jason has an announcement regarding participation in today's proceedings.
Good morning, everybody. Today's meeting of the Design Review Board has been scheduled in a hybrid format with members of the Design Review Board physically present in the Commission Chambers at the City of Miami Beach City Hall, and applicant staff and members of the public appearing either in person or virtually via Zoom. In order to participate in today's meeting, members of the public may dial 1-888-475-4499 and enter the webinar ID, which is 822-7394-1924 pound, or log into the Zoom app and enter the webinar ID, which is again 822-7394-1924. Any individual wishing to speak on an item must click the raise hand icon if they are using the Zoom app, or dial star 9 if they are appearing by phone. Individuals who wish to provide testimony or submit evidence in person may appear in the City Commission Chamber on the third floor of the City of Miami Beach City Hall at 1700 Convention Center Drive. On quasi-judicial applications on behalf of the chair and the board, I'll swear in each presenter or member of the public wishing to speak. I'll also ask each member of the board to disclose the names of any individuals with whom they've had ex parte communications. I'll be keeping the time today at today's meetings. Applicants will have 10 minutes to present, and members of the public will have 2 minutes each. If you are appearing on behalf of a business, a corporation, or another person, you need to register as a lobbyist with the city clerk's office. If you haven't registered yet, you should register before you speak to the board. You do not have to register as a lobbyist if you're speaking only on behalf of yourself and not any other party, or if you're testifying as an expert witness, providing only scientific, technical, or other specialized information or testimony in this public meeting, or if you're appearing as a representative of a neighborhood association without any compensation or reimbursement for your appearance. To express support or opposition to any item, expert witnesses and representatives of neighborhood associations shall, prior to appearing, disclose in writing to the city clerk their name, address, and the principal on whose behalf they are communicating. If you are the architect, attorney, or employee presenting an application or an objector, you must register as a lobbyist. These rules apply whether you are appearing in favor or against an item, encouraging or arguing against its passage, defeat, modification, or continuance. Lastly, before I turn the meeting back over to the chair, I'd like to swear in staff. Staff, are you ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes,
I do.
I do.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much. I'd like to now, from the agenda, review the attendance. There are five people now in quorum, and we will proceed. We will also now approve the minutes. May I have a motion to approve the minutes of the May 4th, 2021?
I so move.
Do we have a second?
I second.
Thank you, Sarah.
Will motion made by Mr. Sheldon, seconded by Ms. Keller Nelson. We can just do a voice vote on this. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Minutes have been passed 5-0. Thank you.
Next item is a request for a continuance for DRB 20-0602 at 6348 Collins Avenue.
Yeah, this is DRB 20-0602, 6348 Collins Avenue. I believe we have representatives for the applicant on the line. I'm requesting a continuance. Mickey Moreira, are you there?
Yes, good morning. I'm here, Mr. Chair. Michael, how are you doing?
Good, yourself?
Good, good. So yeah, a little bit of an update. If you all recall, a couple months ago, we requested a continuance because the property was in the process of being sold to a new owner, and we had been told by the realtor that the new owner would likely want to take over the application. That did occur, and actually, after several weeks of trying, I was able to get in touch with them late last week. He was out of town, but he did confirm to me that he would like to proceed with the application with some modifications, particularly those mentioned by the board at the hearing. So we would like to continue this, if possible, to September. I've also been in touch with our architect, Jose Gomez, and we'd all like to work together to get this application improved and get to you back in September, if that's okay.
Actually, Mickey, just an update here. That's going to be too late. It will have to be renoticed with a new file number because it has been more than 120 days since the board last saw the application. So at this point, I would suggest you work with us to file the application for the September meeting, and the board does not need to take any action on the file at this time. The board did approve the variances that are associated with this application on February 2nd of this year, but the design was continued, and as of tomorrow, it will be more than 120 days. So I would suggest that you work with us, Mickey, to file or refile the application for the September meeting.
Okay, just as a clarification, it's not going to be substantially different. Is it just like a complete new application, or can it be renoticed under the same sort of umbrella of the application?
Well, it'll have to be filed as a new application. You can submit the same documentation, update the ownership, but the issue is the 120 days. The code says that any application that's been continued by the board has to see revised plans within 120 days. So it looks like you can accomplish that by refiling for the September meeting. It's just, I don't think the board has the legal authority to continue the application at this point because it will be more than 120 days.
Okay.
So I'd suggest on this application, the board does not need to take any action. And I'll work with you, Mickey, to file an amended application for the September meeting.
Okay, will do.
Thank you. Mr. Trimmer, we do have an update to the agenda. We have one more request for a continuance. Do we have Mr. Matt Amster or Mr. Larkin on the line? This is for DRB 21-0645, 1420 and 1508 Bay Road.
Mr. Larkin is present and would like to speak.
I don't know where Michael, I guess, is virtual. Michael Larkin, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard, here representing the applicant. Staff had noted some minor concerns with regard to the drawings, and there was a board member that was kind of disappointed in the quality of the drawings.
Sorry to interrupt. Let's just make it clear. This is for DRB.
Oh, I'm sorry. 1420-1508 Bay Road - the Grand Flamingo.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. It's good to be back here in chambers. It's been a year and I don't know how long. But the purpose of the continuance is to make the plans better. From staff's perspective and from the board member's perspective, I was disappointed to hear the critique, and I talked to my team, and they're doing everything they can to improve the quality of the drawings, so we'll be back in July, with your permission.
Do we want to make a motion to approve the
continuance? I would suggest first, Mr. Chair.
Michael.
I'll suggest first we open it up for any public comment regarding the continuance request.
Thank you. Is there anyone from the public who wishes to speak? Let me look about online. I see no one with their hand up, so I will close the public portion of this meeting and turn it over to the board.
I move to continue this application to July.
I'll second.
Christina seconds.
Motion made by Mr. Sheldon, seconded by Ms. Miller. We can just do a voice vote on this for continuance to the July 6th meeting. All in favor of the continuance?
Aye.
Aye.
Great. Thank you.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Items continued to the July 6th meeting.
Thank you, Mark. Okay, first item on the agenda. Of previously continued items is DRB 21-0642 28 Star Island Drive.
Okay, I'll give the introduction on this item. This is DRB 21-0642 28 Star Island Drive. This is an application requesting design review approval for the construction of a new two-story residence on a vacant site that includes one or more waivers and an understory area. The applicant is proposing to construct a new two-story single-family home on the eastern side of Star Island on a currently vacant parcel. The applicant is requesting the review of the understory area and one design waiver from the board. The proposed home features an understory area with the first fully enclosed habitable floor of the residence design at an elevation of 15 feet NGBD, which is 5 feet above the minimum base flood elevation. The waiver is for the open space requirement for two-story side elevations that exceed 60 feet in length, and this is for along the north side elevation. The two-story portion of this interior elevation is just over 100 feet long and features an extensive first floor that is broken up by landscape courts and a second floor with bookend volumes at the setback line, with its dominant middle section pushed back 11 foot 6 inches from the required setback. As proposed, the elevation does not adhere strictly to the code, but does incorporate numerous openings and courts that do help to break up this long, continuous two-story high massing. And in turn, staff believes does meet the intent of the code, and as such, we are supportive of the waiver. We are recommending that the application be approved, subject to the conditions outlined in the draft final order. And I believe we have either Mr. Amster or Mr. Larkin online for the presentation.
Matt, go ahead.
Good morning. Good to be back. Matthew Amster with the law firm of Burkow, Riddell, Fernandez, Larkin, and Tapanez. Offices at 200 South Biscayne Boulevard in Miami. Here today representing Crear Island Corp. It's the applicant and owner of the subject property, 28 Star Island Drive. With me today is the man behind that, Luis Felipe Nieva Silveira. He is looking to build a new home on this single family, on this vacant lot, a new single family home for his growing family. He's assembled a great design team. I believe on the line we have his design architects all the way from South Africa, a firm named Seota. I believe we have Philip Omsdahl, who's been assisted by Joseph Schutzer Weissman and Alvin DeVos, as well as others. Locally, we have Urban Robot, J.J. Wood, Cassandra Strauss, and Urban Robot is also the landscape architects. Justine Velez should be on the line as well. So with this team, again, we have just a design of a new home on a vacant lot that is for design approval. We have an understory and also one waiver. Don't quite meet all of the technical requirements, but certainly the intent of the north side additional open space.
Mr. Amster, yes. Before you proceed, may I swear you and your entire team in?
Absolutely,
please do.
Just want to
make sure everybody is here. And who else besides yourself will be presenting?
It should be Philip Omsdahl and Justine Velez and others as needed.
I just want to make sure they are present so I can swear them in.
Hello, Philip Omsdahl here.
Thank you.
Justine Velez here.
Great. Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
I do.
Great. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Jason. And if staff, if you could call up the presentation that we have. So here's the project. It's on the east side of Star Island. This is the view of the new home from the waterway. Next slide. That's just our location. Next slide. And then these are photos of both the street front as well as the property. Next slide. And next slide. We have done neighbor outreach. You can go to one. There you go. We are happy to say we have support from our two adjacent neighbors. This is a letter of support from the owner to the south, who was happy to support us and likes the project. We've had extensive discussions with the neighbor to the north and are happy to say that we've entered to an agreement with them to make some changes, which we're proposing to share with you this evening. This morning. Agreement is with that neighbor to the north, and so through the code, there's a disclosure of section 118.31. We're required to explain it to you, and we've also provided this in writing to the planning department staff. Basically, for more privacy on the north side, there are already proposed screens along many of the openings, whether they were terraces or windows, and so we've added additional screening as well as extensive additional landscaping, both at ground level, and there's another planter proposed at the roof. So we are happy to make those accommodations to our neighbor to the north. And then also, should either neighbor propose to go forward with these larger homes, do accommodate larger elevators, which may require a variance, a height variance for the bulkhead. So each neighbor has agreed to support each other should they go forward with those applications. With that, I'm going to turn this over to Philip, who's online from Sayota, to walk you through the plans. You can go to the next page and Philip can start.
Hello, Philip Bernstall here. I'm a director at Sayota. We practice in Cape Town, South Africa. We actually have done a number of projects in Miami, two or three of which have been through the DRB process. So it's good to be working on such a prestigious project in Miami, and thank you for letting me join this presentation today. I'm going to go through a few slides, hand back to Matt for some comments on the on some of the final slides, and then to Justine who from Urban Robot, who's going to take us through some of the landscaping comments. The slide that's on the screen at the moment was put together quite early in our project. It's an exclamation sign slide to the client, but it specifically addressed some of the key considerations in the approach to zoning the property on 28 Star. And to the bottom of the screen is the lot 29 to the south, and to the top of the screen is lot 27 to the north. And what was particularly important to us was that the building on 28 acknowledged the building more specifically on the north because of the consideration of ours of ensuring that we didn't negatively impact on solar shading on their southern boundary, but also that we wanted to respond to other considerations on the from a zoning point of view. To highlight those, on the western side, the building, as Matt had touched on, is set back quite substantially from the street boundary, 108 feet from the street to the leading edge of the second story, which happens to be a small cinema. And that follows a stepping up of the understory from the closer to the street up to that point. And then on the eastern side, the building is substantially set back, demarcated by the large yellow arrows, basically creating a pool terrace level at first floor facing east. And that line more or less corresponds with the neighbor's house to lot 27 on the north. What's also quite evident in this simple overlay diagram is we refer to the design being quite porous. This highlights how fragmented the building form is, creating these pockets of landscape courtyards on the south, as well as on the north. And as I mentioned, Matt will discuss that variance on the north. If you can go to the next slide. This is the same diagram, just a three-dimensional interpretation of that diagram. If you look at the building the 3D model of the building is in this illustration with these colored overlays. Again, left-hand side of the image just highlighting how our building terraces up from the street side, and then the dominant red dashed line on the eastern side on the top right corner, illustrating how the building's principal east facade corresponds to the neighbor to the north. Thank you. Then as Matt mentioned, the purpose of this diagram was just to reinforce the approaches or considerations for our neighbors at lot 27 and 29. If you don't mind, I just want to discuss some of the renders that we've got in this document. Can you skip, I believe we're on slide 8, could you skip to slide 53? And we wanted to just discuss the renders, and then we'll come back to discuss the plans, which I believe are on the next slides.
Philip, just give them a second. I already gave them a heads up that we're doing this. Sorry, we're going in a little out of order just to try to economize on our time.
Sorry, this seemed to go a bit quicker in our dry run, but thank you for assisting. So I just wanted to highlight some of the characteristics that are illustrated in the renderings. So we've got some renderings from the east side, but this is starting on the street side. And it's just a rendering indicating, and this is a result of some engagement with staff at an earlier round. This illustrating that the building is substantially set back from the street. Importantly, the two principal themes I hope you would see when in these renders, and one is that from the very first meetings with a client had explained how important it was to meaningfully integrate landscaping into the building. And the second was that the architectural direction that we've taken the design in relies on a characteristic of fairly common approach to finishes, which we believe creates a kind of calmness in the design with the finishes continuing through the different levels of the building. But also the finishes have a beautiful natural and textural quality. A lot of Florida keystone on the wall cladding, and then a textured concrete finish on the edges of some of the slabs. And those are contrasted by hard, natural hardwood timber frames and some screens and decorative elements, and a copper edging to the roof. All those colors together creating very warm tones, and they harmonize in quite a with a great kind of character across the whole building. Relevant on this image is the public entryway just on the right behind the tree trunk, but you can see it's there. If you can go to the next image. The next image was simply produced to see what the building was without the large trees that exist, and illustrating, as I said again, I mentioned earlier that element of the building on the second floor is the second floor cinema, but I hope from here you see that the building terraces from the understory in the foreground and up to this first and second floor as the building as one sets away from the street. If you can go to the next image. This is just getting onto the property, combination of heavy landscaping and these natural finishes, which I mentioned. Some visitors' arrival parking on the left and a visitor pathway up onto the first floor on the right. But the main entrance is directly ahead, entering through the understory up into the first floor main receiving rooms. If you can go ahead. This is just another detailed shot, just driving a bit further into the first part of the understory where some visitors parking is covered, and then the arrival is the lit space just a bit further on in the understory. Again, the use of the warm colored finishes, a lot of landscaping over the edges of the building, and substantial amount of planters and large trees. Thank you. Next image. This is an image that we have intentionally just removed the landscaping to see a better character of the first floor on the east side, a double-story building above the understory, and then there's an external cabana bath and barbecue area on the northern boundary and a pool. You can go to the next image, actually turns the trees on, so that's more likely what the building will look like in reality in landscaping on the second floor and on the roof level. You can go to the next image. The next image just indicating the permeability of the understory. This is the east side, which would the understory accommodates some play areas for the kids, hard surfaces for kids and some outdoor games area. Thank you. Next one. And then this is the same image that Matt highlighted, kind of aerial view from the canal side. And the same themes, of course, the continuity of finishes and the heavy landscaping. Justine will touch on the heavy landscaping on the south and north boundaries, with specific attention on the north boundaries, which was a result of, as Matt mentioned, discussions with the neighbor to the north. Thank you. If you can go back to the plans illustrations, I believe it's on page six or seven.
Mr. Chair, I just would like to inform you that the 10 minutes have elapsed.
How much more time would you want?
We do need some more time to go through the design, maybe 5 minutes, and we'll see how we're going.
Okay.
We'll
thank you.
Try to keep it brief.
5 minutes.
Thank you.
Sorry, I'll speed up. Okay, you can go to the next slide. The next slide, this is the roof plan. We've got a plan set in black and white and color. I'm just going to talk to the color illustrations. As I mentioned, the landscape, the roof has a small terrace area, very small plunge pool portion, and a small reflecting pond. Landscape, the white places indicate services areas on the north predominantly, and the tan colored edges is a copper roof edge, as I mentioned in the 3Ds. Thank you. You can go to the next slide. the understory. The understory, obviously, street entry is approximately centered in the site on the west. And the entry from the understory to the first floor is the large white portion approximately in the center of the site, with four internal parking garages on the eastern side of that entrance hall, otherwise outdoor, covered visitor parking and staff parking. And then on the right-hand side of that is the landscape of some shallow water features, abundant landscaping and some external areas, kids' play areas and fitness spaces and things like that, and some service rooms. The AC area is limited to one of the double garages and the entrance lobby. And just to confirm that it's entirely compliant with regulations in terms of openness to the facades, of course, the substantial permeability and the character of the the main structure set in 5 feet from the from the edge of the first floor. Thank you. If you can go to the next slide. First floor, it's slightly difficult reading the extent of the understory, but the understory is compliant, set back to the 12.5 feet to the sides. But the first floor characterized on the western edge, which kind of terminates in that C-shaped facing the street, is a large western garden with a small guest house. The main part of the house is centered, more or less the area in the white, with kitchen and some service accommodation towards the north, and the main living space is approximately center on the site, center east, opening onto a covered terrace, the outdoor cabana space, an outdoor cabana bath, and then a large pool on the first floor facing east towards the water. The accessory structure has a 5 foot separation on the northern edge between the portion of the house which accommodates the den and the outdoor space. And something important for us was that the character of the understory, and specifically the arrival area towards the west, has large openings through the first floor slab, allowing natural light and ventilation into the understory, but also allowing this the idea that was quite a central idea to the design, that the building had multi layers, all occupied with landscape and all fairly permeable, allowing light and ventilation to move through the house, very much in the same way as the permeability is achieved on the understory level. If you can go to the next slide. Second floor is a combination of four main bedrooms and a guest bedroom and the cinema space, predominantly all facing east over the first floor terrace and onto the water, and then some, as with the first floor, some courtyard spaces connecting the light and ventilation through, and also connecting from the cinema space on the northwest to the roof terrace. You can go to the next slide. Roof plan, I think I have commented on when we looked at the site plan. If you can then go on to the next slide. There's a duplicate set of elevations. If you wouldn't mind going to the next slide. Some are in black and white and some are in color. I'm just going to talk to the ones in color. Considering time considerations, I'm going to simply re-highlight that as evidence in the elevations, all the height compliances are in place. The understory and the upper decks have an abundance of landscaping. What is an abundance of landscaping on the long north and south sides. If you can go to the long elevations, what is worth mentioning is...
Two slides ahead.
Sorry, please. If you can go to the next slide. Thank you. Is on these long elevations, again, you're just reading the continuity of the Florida Keystone, various privacy screens introduced predominantly on the north side, some also on the south side, on the upper level bedrooms and so on, and the combination of multi-level planting, low-level shrubs screening the understory, and higher level either large specimen trees and palms. If you can go to the next slide, it's a duplicate of the north elevation, this one in black and white. If you wouldn't mind just going back to that previous slide, sorry, Matt. If you look at this illustration, the contrast between the black and the white, this is a new elevation. If you can see top left, it says revised, and this is the result of the conversations that have happened with our neighbor to the north. For background, the neighbor to the north is a good friend and client of ours. We've completed a house design for his house, which included the Degamo, the movement of the Degamo building some years ago. and in discussions with JJ on that property, for this design, we've revisited this entire north facade, and the facade now includes more screening, fixed screening, and a reduction in the amount of windows, and if you can go to the next slide, and a substantial amount of landscaping happening on the north. And again, as I mentioned, Justine will take us through those in more detail.
Philip,
thank you. And then,
if we could, yeah. Thank you for that. And again, just to highlight, these revised sheets we'd asked to be added into the record because that's our agreement with the neighbor to add more privacy. If you could go forward to 38, and Philip just mentioned briefly the materials, and then I will talk about the waiver, and then we'll be done with our presentation.
Thank you, Matt. So two themes of the present with the materials, the one being that has been a very important for us to have a continuity of materials. So the Florida Keystone is the predominant finish of the exterior walls. The ribbed concrete top left image is a textural finishing to the concrete beams, which characterize the individual slab edges. It'll have a light bush hammered appearing surface. It's actually formed by a concrete form liner, but it'll give us that texture. And then the other accent finishes, hardwood window frames and some hardwood on the exterior pergolas and screens. Limited, though, because, of course, for weathering, a lot of the external screens would be a combination of timber fixed into frames or frames with a bronzed or timber veneered surface. And then the copper metallic edging for the roof. So, again, the brown, the hardwoods and the pergolas and the coppers bringing in these warm colors. And the base colors being the Florida Keystone and the concrete with various accents. Clear glass, non-reflective glass, and some steel accent details. Thanks, Matt. Over to you.
Thank you, Philip. Next slide, please. Just in brief, we do have additional open space on both the north and the south. The south, which is at the bottom, is actually is the next page, but this we'll stay on this page. The south is fully compliant. Thank you. If you could go back to 39. So in the north, the blue areas are areas that are completely open from the ground level up. Green are limited open areas. And as you can see, if you look kind of at the top, which is the elevation, the left larger blue area is completely compliant. It meets all the code requirements. However, the two-story elevation to the right of that, if there's a green dimension at the top is a little over 100 feet, and we do have that blue, the narrow blue area. It doesn't quite meet the full additional open space, but as you can see, there's a lot of movement and additional open space as in the green areas, some of which are quite deep. And so with all of the movement, articulation, different materials, there is extensive, intent here to meet the code, even though that little blue one in the middle of the right side doesn't quite meet all of the requirements. But we do have quite a varied, great architectural design to limit the scale and massing, and we do have the neighbor to the north does support our application. Real quick, one more item, 45, if you could please, is there's a large green buttonwood tree at the shoreline of this property. As you can see, it's taking over. There's also a coral seawall that is quite varied in this location. It is basically landward of where the actual seawall will go. So there is a good possibility that we can keep this tree, but we can't guarantee it. So our plan at the moment has indicated that we're going to remove the tree. But even in the staff conditions, you can see that there's conditions to try to save the tree, and we will do what we can to do so. If you go to the next, let me see, actually.
It should be page 46.
Thank you. Yeah, the next page, 46. You can actually see the outline of the tree by the water on the right side. That is the intent, to try to keep that and also build the new seawall. I just wanted to bring that to your attention that it is slated for removal, but we're doing our best. We've already met with Urban Forestry as well as the Planning Department to try to save that. With that, we agree with all staff conditions. We just want the revised plans that we've indicated for the changes on the north elevation to be added to the approved plans. that were with you for the final submittal. Our entire team is here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. I want to now turn it over to the public for comment. If anyone wishes to speak, please step forward or raise your hand. And I see no one with their hand raised nor coming forward, so I'm going to close the public portion of the meeting and turn it over to the board for comment.
Mr. Chair, we do have some members of the public with their hands raised.
Okay, hold it. I apologize.
I think Mr. Tucker Gibbs.
Thank you, Michael.
Hello.
Hello, Tucker.
Hi, how are you? Today I'm here representing Starboard Florida 4 LLC, which owns the property 27 Star Island Drive to the north, the property to the north. You've already heard about the clients. Our client has had extensive and productive discussions with representatives of the applicant and regarding the impact on my client's privacy and on his property. And the applicant, as you can see, has modified the plans and to respond to our concerns. So I just wanted to tell you and let you know that Starboard is pleased to support these changed plans in this application. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Tucker. I believe we have a phone call, a number ending in 1924.
I think their hand is no longer up.
Okay. So verify, Michael, I see no one else on the list?
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Now I'll close the public portion and turn it over to the board for comment. I'll add a minor point here, which is it's an extremely successful presentation. Successful in the sense it's extremely thorough, easy to read and comprehend, and every element has been considered. Thank you.
I want to follow up with your comment. This is a beautiful presentation, a beautiful set of drawings. I should disclose that I was the person who had the one ex parte with the last person. I didn't have an opportunity to say that I asked them to improve the drawings before I could give comment or look back. But this is a gorgeous presentation, and there are certain things about it that I really appreciate. Regarding how it interacts with the site. I like the fact that, especially on the ground floor, there's really minimal air conditioning and there's a lot of kind of organic interface with the site, which is a very kind of rigid rectilinear site, and then the spaces are kind of moving within that. And I think that's pretty fantastic. I on prior projects, you know, we've had some concerns, and I'll bring them up here, too, about materials that they be, especially when you're talking about really high-budget projects, that they be sustainably sourced, particularly when you're using a lot of the hardwoods and the ipe. And we were able to put some language into the order requesting that they be FSC-certified or following some sort of similar standard. So I would request that go in for this project as well. I think there's a responsibility with the large houses that they really kind of take the cutting edge in terms of protecting what is possible to protect. The same thought goes for the air-conditioned spaces on the third floor. It looks like probably the architects have zoned this very carefully because there are many separate spaces. The one question I had was the main bedroom wing because there's a lot of spaces that will probably be used infrequently. There's the closet spaces, the PG lounge, et cetera. So I'm hoping that that might be taken into consideration with the design of the HVAC systems. It would be a shame to be climatizing the whole space beyond what's necessary because it's an incredibly large property. And other than that, I have to say it's a really exciting design. I think it actually does contribute in a meaningful way to the beach, and I really appreciated the presentation. I appreciated the drawing quality, and I hope that it is as wonderful as it looks to me here. Thanks.
Thank you. If I may, Mr. Chair, we'll definitely be designing it to have different air conditioning systems, you know, to be separate and therefore only work when necessary. And I believe, and Philip can vouch for this, that we will be making sure to provide sustainably sourced EPE and other natural materials.
Great. Regarding the ability to shorten the north facade, that uninterrupted space, to me it doesn't actually come across as uninterrupted, and I guess this will be kind of a more discussion amongst the board members. I see that the volume is there, and I see where it's demarcated. It looks like only on the third story or the second living floor and the roof level that it seems maybe more contiguous. It does seem very broken up to me. So, you know, my inclination, although I'm eager to hear what the other board members think, is that it doesn't feel like one solid mass the way that the code was meant to break to prohibit it from being. So before I make a decision on that, I'd like to hear from the other board members.
Sierra?
So I agree with the other board members. I think that this is a lovely design, and I appreciate all the green elements, the solar roof, the elevations. I agree with Christina, too, that usually, you know, I'm sort of a stickler. I'm against the waivers but I think that this does a good job of meeting the intent of the code. So I feel like I would be supportive of that. My only comment, and I also agree, I think that as part of the approval, we would need to ensure that these are indeed going to be the materials and that they are the sustainable, as sustainably sourced as possible. The only thing that struck me, it seems like, you know, there's so many details and everything is so well designed and so well thought out. It was only the very front, the street side, the landscaping seems so plain in comparison to the landscaping in the rest of the building. I don't know if that's something that was intentional, it could be explored. That was the only thing that struck me. But other than that, yeah, I agree. I think that this is a lovely design and an exciting house. And yeah, let's get that empty, the vacant lot, you know, into something wonderful.
And I just want to add in comments to the facade on the north side is that you actually reached out to the owner across from you and worked out the agreement, fully understanding that issues and other site issues, as well as on the south side. But it was I congratulate you. As you know, we always ask for people to make sure they contact their neighbors and to get responses. And thank you.
Thank you.
Sam?
I'm going to make a motion to approve the design subject to the conditions set forth in the staff report.
Second.
A second. I had one more question.
Please.
It was for the owner and the architect, which is whether there was any consideration to taking it off grid to the extent that you can. You have such a large site, and it seems like there's opportunity for a lot of on-site power generation, et cetera. And in fact, you could even store water and it just make use of the large space that you have, because it looks like the whole intent, it seems like in the conversations that you've had, it's been a real push to do these things. There's a conversation. I don't know if I should pause.
No, sorry. I'm just trying to get them to think about it, because I don't think that that's something that's been contemplated. I'm sure it's something they could explore. I mean, it's a great thought due to, again, the size. You know, they do need to make to meet the green building requirements in the code, and they're making sure for sure to do that. But
right, I know. But for a project, the green building requirements are, kind of a baseline, and I'm sure they'll meet those. I have every confidence in that. But this would be a great project to try to take beyond.
So that's a friendly amendment you'd like to make, Christina, to explore this thoroughly?
Yes.
And Sam accepts that? We'll continue with the motion?
Sure.
Okay. We have a first and a second.
Yep, I second.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to make sure that that would include the requirement for the FSC or other certification regarding the use of sustainable materials, as well as a condition requiring materials shown.
Correct. Thank you.
And the revised plans will be added, the changes we made for the north elevation.
It's presented today.
Correct.
Thank you.
So a motion was made by Mr. Sheldon, seconded by Ms. Miller. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Matt. Before we go to the next project, I want to actually go back to the agenda and cover an issue which I unfortunately skipped over, which is item number 3. Michael, do you want to address that? It's concerning the next meeting date.
Just for the board's awareness, our next meeting is, and just for correction, it's July 6th. So in terms of our attendance, we just wanted to verify the attendance of the board members for the July 6th meeting. We do have a packed agenda for that day. I think we have probably in total 15 applications. So we'd like to ensure, right off the bat, if we have a full quorum for the July 6th meeting.
I have to admit that I will not be able to attend.
Nor will I.
I'll be here.
I'm a big question mark at this point.
Okay, so with that, if we are going to have 2 members absent, that means we will not be able to take up applications that include variances. So with Mr. Sheldon and Mr. Bodner absent. If Christina, if you're unable to attend, or anybody else, let me know as soon as you can, because with 3 members absent, we would have to cancel the meeting because we would not have the quorum of 4 members present.
Okay. Next item on the agenda is DRB 21-0643, 450 West Toledo Drive.
And Fernanda's online to give this next presentation.
Good morning. So as Mr. Bodner mentioned, the next application is DRB 21-0643, 450 West Toledo Drive. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the construction of a new 2-story residence that includes 1 or more waivers to replace an existing pre-1942 architecturally significant residence. The proposed home has been designed with a floor elevation at baseboard elevation 8 plus a freeboard of 2 feet or 10 feet on GVD. This residence is designed in a contemporary style and features expressive building volumes and rich material cladding. The application does include 2 design waivers. The first design waiver pertains to the open space requirement for 2-story elevations that exceed 60 feet in length, and specifically for the south-facing interior side elevation. This interior two-story elevation features an extensive first floor that incorporates two open spaces and a shorter second floor that spans nearly 60 feet. Although the manner in which the two floor intersects provides ample open spaces, it does not adhere to the strict requirements of the code. The second design waiver pertains to the height of the residence. RS3 zone single family properties can be designed with homes that have an overall height of 24 feet for flat roof structures. Such height may be increased up to 4 feet additional feet through the design review process. The applicant is seeking an additional 2 feet of height for this new residence. Its allocation and distribution of the height is subject to the DRB approval. This site contains a lot of 10,770 square feet, which meets the minimum lot area for RS3 lots. The waiver is often intended for large lots in the RS3 district that more closely resemble larger lot sizes of the RS1 and the RS2 zoning districts, while the second floor volumes are distributed in a manner that mitigates potential impact on neighbors. The project lot is minimally sized for RS3, and as such, staff is not supportive of the requested 2 foot height increase. I believe that the architect team is here to present, so I will pass it on to them.
Michael?
So, good morning, Mr. Chairman, board member, staff. Michael Larkin, 200 South Biscayne Boulevard, here representing 450 West LLC, the applicant. With me today is the homeowner, Ashwin Dandekar. He's sitting behind our architect, Ralph Choaf, our landscape architect, Christopher Cowley, and my partner, Matthew Amster. This waterfront property is located north of the Venetian Causeway on Dolito Island. The property may look familiar to you all. A design came to you all in July 15th of last year. The DRB approved demolition of the existing single-family home and a construction of a new two-story single-family home, including waivers of the second floor volume and additional required open space. The new owner is proposing to construct a tropical modern two-story residence. The entrance features a mix of natural elements, including a waterfall feature leading to the main door, as well as a number of cascading planters from the second floor balcony. The applicant is also protecting a large specimen-sized royal poinciana tree located in the front southeastern corner of the property. The overall design sufficiently addresses the intent of the code with a main massing centrally located, and a variety of architectural regulations and materials, along with extensive plantings. The applicant is not seeking any variances of the code. PJ, would you be able to pull up the presentation? Next slide. So this is a map of the outreach that was conducted by the homeowner himself. He went to all of his neighbors around, and as you can see, from this map and this aerial photograph, the neighbor across the street is labeled number one, Pedro and Elena Rivera, and then number two is the immediate neighbor to the north. Wasn't able to get in touch with the neighbor immediately to the south, but was able to get in touch with two of the neighbors south. So Ashwin did an enormous amount of outreach trying to get his neighbors involved in the process and trying to explain to them the design, and we appreciated his help in that regard. So, as Fernanda pointed out, the applicant is seeking two waivers. The first one is to waive the additional required open space of the two-story south side elevation located parallel to a side property line exceeding 50% of the lot depth or 60 feet. And number two, to permit an increased height of up to 26 feet for a flat roof where 24 is permitted, but you can seek a waiver in this district up to 4 feet. We're asking for 2 feet. Portion of the elevations are stepped back and recessed, so the additional height does not occur for the entire length of the home along the property line. Sometimes you all consider height waivers where it's the entire box, but here it's focused in the center of the property. The goal of the new design is to preserve views and minimize any potential impacts to the abutting neighbors, many of which are two-story homes. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Ralph Choaf. He's going to walk you all through the design.
Good morning. Ralph Choaf, Choaf Levy Fishman Architects, Miami, Florida. Good to be back. Nice to see everybody in person. So we're designing a...
Before you begin, may I swear you in?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a new two-story residence. That is 5,002 square feet, which take up 46.4% of the property unit size. And we are asking for two waivers on this property. So to explain the waivers, it's best to go through the plans. If you go to number 14, okay, so as one, it's a side-facing garage, and you come in through a motor court and driveway. And as one enters the actual residence, you know, the garage itself is one story. You have a pathway that leads you under a space that's on the second floor, so it's a covered space. And then you walk back out into an open courtyard. And then you walk into the main living space, and that main living space is technically a one-story space, as the roof does not exceed 18 feet, and the ceiling will be about 16 feet. So you're starting off with a one-story space. You're open underneath the two-story space that is leading you into the house, and then you walk into a one-story space. The balance of the residence is two stories. And the reason we did this is as soon as we want to give you a series of moments as you walk in. One of the moments is you're walking underneath an architectural feature with a cascading water wall to your left that'll give you a soothing sound, also looks beautiful with a reflecting pond. As you walk in, the main living space there has a fireplace to the right, and it kind of cantilevers over the grade. As well, you walk into this space and you actually see all the waterfront, because technically you have 16-foot high ceilings and it's technically a one-story space, but the views and the living areas just get exposed to you as you walk in. To the south side, you have a kitchen with an open lounge. Then you have service wings to the east of it. Actually, the best way to have looked at it is number 16. Can we go to number 16? And there you get an exploded view of the first floor. And if you go to number 17, you'll see that we have bedrooms on the east side of the property. You'll see the open courtyard, and you'll see the one-story space that is almost a double volume, one-and-a-half-story volume. You'll also see the master suite on the southwest corner of the residence, with the master bedroom having complete sliding glass doors that give you an indoor-outdoor feel. And as does the first floor, it gives you a tropical, modern, indoor-outdoor feel. So if I were to go to, I'd like to bring up slide number 30. I'd like to bring up slide number 38. And the reason I bring up slide number 38 is because that is the east side elevation of the residence. Is it the east side, Michael? The right side elevation of the residence. And you'll see the floating fireplace that has a Ceramitec finish on it. It is surrounded by glass, so it will seem like it's floating. From this elevation, you will see all the different moments that you, when you come in, you'll see the overhanging second floor space that you walk underneath. You see the water wall to your left. You see you're going over a reflecting pond and then right into the living space that has 18-foot high roof. And the garage also has a low roof, so you have quite a bit of one-story element in this house. And in order to accentuate the architecture, we wanted to go to 26 feet. As this architecture has, you could see a lot of movement to it. I'd like to go to number 31. And number 31 gives you just another perspective of the house, looking from the east out to the west. And you'll see that where the space is that you walk underneath, we have hanging planters right overhead to soften up the architecture. The second floor is extremely set back from the front property line. And then you'll see in the background the one-story living space behind it. Number 32, again, is showing you in yellow what the one-story space is as compared to the two-story heights. Number 33 shows you again the one-story space compared to the two-story space, and we wanted to make sure of that. And then I'd like to go, last but not least, probably, second to last, 39, please. And 39 is the elevation that we're asking the waiver for. As you can see, the elevation has a lot of fenestration, has a lot of movement to it, has an open space on the second floor that really sets back with a spiral that leads you onto a rooftop use. The materials on the residence are Teramatec, Vinogrigio, and stucco to give it that warm, tropical, modern look. Planters in the front that hide the garage, basically. And slide number 40 shows you the gazebo structure, which is open. It's not really a closed gazebo structure, but it can be closed because it has an automatic awning on top, a mechanical awning. You'll see the movement in the architecture on a narrow lot like the one we have, not keeping it straight volume, but actually moving it back and forth and up and down. So that's my presentation, and I look forward to any comments.
Michael, do you have any comments? Okay, I want to then open up to the public for comment. Anyone who wishes to raise their hand, please do so, or come forward. And Michael, just confirm I see no one.
I also do not see anybody.
I will then close this portion of the public portion of the hearing, turn over to the board. Ralph, could you identify the specific elements that changed from our previous approval?
I was not the architect to that previous project.
But what were the changes? Not that you approved, designed it, but there's this is not a completely different project, right? Completely.
Completely different.
Okay.
I was not involved.
So any previous approvals don't have any standing here, of course?
No, not really. I have... Okay. I was not even the architect to that, so.
I have a question.
Christina?
Just a basic question. The lot that it's on, there's a description that says it's together with an 8-foot strip of land. That's not the easement that takes the... That it's not a public easement. I'm just looking at the legal description. Just want to make sure that it's not.
I don't know what page the survey is on. Patrick, do you know the page the survey is on?
It says lot 4, block 3, and then it continues on to say, together with an 8-foot strip of land contiguous to the westerly boundary line of the lot. And it continues on. A lot of these islands have, you know, easements that go between lots that allow people to walk out to the water. I just want to make sure it's not.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
I can interrupt here. So what's typical for this island is that 8-foot strip of land, or 8-foot strip, is the portion that's on the waterward side of the island. So that's a portion, typically the property line may not go to the seawall, but it includes in the survey an 8-foot portion of, usually it's combined, upland and submerged lands as part of the property. So in this case, they would take the lot area to the midpoint of the seawall.
Understood.
As I believe.
Okay.
So that does not include any sort of public access to the water.
This is also common on Hibiscus Island. Almost every legal description you'll see an additional 20 feet is reclamation for Biscayne Bay.
Thank you.
Sarah?
Thank you. I like this design. I think it's lovely, and you know, I always appreciate that you design for all sides of the structure. I definitely like the northwestern elevation the best. I'm not necessarily supportive of the height waiver, the additional height, and I'd be curious to hear what my other board members feel about the 60-foot waiver, because I see what you've done here with, you know, the windows, and I'm not quite sure if it really conveys the intent of the code, so I'm curious to hear what everyone else has to say. But overall, lovely. Thank you.
Thank you, Sarah.
I'll go with the 60-foot thing. I think, you know, I echo what she says. You did an amazing job with paying attention to all the sides, and I think the code intended not to have a blank wall, and you've clearly, I mean, I think you've completely solved that problem. I, too, am with a height waiver on a lot that barely makes the cut. It was just for the drama of the second, tell me why you have to have that 2 feet.
Basically, it is a narrow lot, and we wanted a lot of movement in the architecture. We just didn't want a rectangle there, which unfortunately happens a lot of times. And by providing that one-story space, I wanted the height differential there to kind of read. If we went too low, I don't think it would have read as well as it does right now. And that's really the intent of that.
What's the current height of the first versus the second? What is the
They're both equal in height, if I'm not mistaken. You're looking at 13 and 13. Then on the one-story portion, you're looking at 18 feet to the top of the roof, which is technically a one-story portion with a 16-foot ceiling there. So you're going to have 12-foot high sliding glass doors and 4 foot of fixed transom up above it. And by the way, they occur on both sides. So when you're sitting in the living room and the dining room, if you open both sides, you'll almost feel like you're outside in one of those Caribbean hotels where everything's outside. And that's really the intent that I want to create here. It's South Florida. I just want to take advantage of our weather.
So the first and second are 14 and 14?
13 and 13.
13, so it's 26, and then the other one's 18.
18.
So we're talking an 8-foot differential.
And the garage is approximately 14.
Okay. So if you were to knock it down two feet, it would only be a 6-foot differential instead of an 8-foot.
Right.
Okay.
If the 2-foot height waiver were to be denied, what would you do? Would that just mean lower ceilings, or would you have to go back to the drawing board?
No, we mean lower ceilings. Okay. It would be slightly a little different, but it would be the same design as you're seeing right now.
Okay.
Just a little less dramatic.
I don't feel strongly one way or the other about the height waiver, and so I'm curious as to what the design folks have to say.
You know, we've been getting stricter about the height issue, and it's usually generated by one or two specific board members making cases for it, so we tend to waver, if you will. I'm neither here nor there, as you are, sitting on the fence. I would like someone who feels strongly about it take a motion to deny it or to allow it.
Generally, you know, my concerns have to do with neighbors, you know, having a problem with somebody looking down. It looks like your view line it doesn't look like it impacts the neighbors. My hesitation with height is that you're just creating more volume to climatize. So my main issue with height tends to be that you're just spending more energy. It seems like design after design after design are being pushed for the taller ceilings. And so this is kind of a recurring conflict between the code and the current design mantra that we're kind of dealing with month after month after month. It's in the middle of the site. I don't think it really impacts anybody so much here. So I don't have a strong feeling on it to offer you. Regarding the length issue, can you tell me the PDF page number again to show that facade? And then while you're looking for it, Michael, the intent is what Scott said, that you don't want a blank wall. Is that correct? The intent of the code and the 60-foot?
So the intent for the 60-foot two-story side elevation is that you don't have a continuous mass. Even a continuous mass with windows would be an issue. But they do not have that continuous mass at the setback line. It has variety and changes in plane, as well as the design element. So those in combination, we believe, meet the intent of the code for breaking up the massing and scale of these two-story side elevations.
Christina, number 39.
Thank you.
And what you'll see is you'll see the second floor overhanging hanging the first in the back. Then you'll see a two-story stairway kind of feature, another inset, and then the biggest inset really is on the second floor, where the entire second floor after the stair insets from the property line and doesn't even come close to it, giving the first floor appearance that it's actually coming further than the second floor, and then which also gives the second floor area there a feeling of being offset from the first floor. You got the spiral stair going up, so we felt that we kind of, although technically we felt that we've matriculated that elevation pretty well.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like one mass. I was just curious about the code intent, whether it's just because if you have a straight line that stuff accumulates over time between you and your neighbor, whether it was kind of how people use the space over time, and if you have an indent, people
that put them. That space is actually going to be used as a balcony in a portion of it. It's not just a roof. And what I think the intent is, back in the day, people used to design these very lineal blank facades, not really paying attention to them. And Sarah has pointed out, we really pay attention to all sides. Because people will see them, believe it or not. People will see them. So we do pay attention to all the sides.
The yes, that's apparent. Thank you.
The biggest case is, Christina, is that we've seen egregious examples of where buildings look like there's a front and a back and two rear yards facing their neighbors. It's just a blank wall. And I think the indent is a requirement that architecturally you do need to make action there that interacts with the so-called neighbors, but also to bring light into the building in a better fashion. I also would make a case that maybe the height issue isn't a real issue on this property, because of half the building is only one story. The other half is the two story. So if you mix and match, you'd probably say they balance out pretty well.
And Mr. Chairman, on the height waiver issue, sorry, I'm used to having a mic. Can you all hear me? When the best barometer sometimes if height is going to be an issue, if the adjacent neighbors come out and object, and the typical complaint is a loss of privacy. But the way that Ralph has designed it, that's not an issue here. When clients come to me,
the second issue is when clients come to me and say, Michael, we'd like to request a height waiver. I'm like, oof, that's a real challenge in front of this board now. Are you willing to cluster all the height in the center and the core of the property and drop it down the sides? So when Ashwin and Ralph came to me, I just looked at the drawings that they've already done what I would have suggested. So for those are other reasons, in addition to what Mr. Chairman said, that militate in favor of grant of the height waiver request only for this particular property for this project.
Could you bring up, or I'm looking at slide 34, because that seems to give, that at least is giving me an idea both of the side issue as well as the height. And what my concern is the height versus the length together. and that, again, this is not a terribly large lot. I drove around, I parked in front, I looked at the property. The house immediately to the north is a one-story. I'm, in general, always concerned, you know, and I think for the other board members, of not just setting precedent with the additional height, but also how the entire neighborhood then feels with these very tall or tall structures. You know, even on in areas like LaGorse Island, where you have these very large properties, when you do still have those homes that were given these additional height waivers, and it really does stand out. So I think we need to look at both the height and this length together to ask ourselves, is this home appropriately proportioned for this property and the neighborhood? And that is where, you know, I'm almost okay with maybe one but not the other. That's just what I'm thinking. And I feel like on this 34, especially the bottom left, it gives us a better sense of, you know, the unbroken up length in general.
Do you mean one waiver? Like the got it.
Yeah, I think that we can't think about an additional height and the extended, the uninterrupted facade individually, at least in this case, because the property isn't enormous. That, you know, it's combined. Do they make, if we were to allow both waivers, then would it create a structure that is just too big for the property?
What about a compromise between, you know, between staff's position of denying the waiver and the applicant's position of wanting the extra 2 feet and split the baby and agree to a foot?
That sounds fair. Good
compromise.
So, I mean, that's, I kind of want to make everyone happy.
I don't think that's our goal here, but that's a good thought.
Another that's option so is you could have different. You can always allow the height waiver on one roof to the 2 feet, and maybe the other one in the rear with a longer span, a lower roof height, if the applicant thinks that could also work with their design.
I would opt for all 1 foot, because there's a continuity to the architecture we want to keep. And if we go in the first half 26 and the second half 25, that we're compromising the architecture we've designed. So the 1 foot would all around would probably be the best compromise.
Sam, do you want to make a motion?
I will. I move to approve the application inclusive of the first waiver, denying the second waiver in part, agreeing to 1 foot of height increase instead of 2, and subject to the other conditions enumerated in staff's draft order.
Sarah?
I was going to say, so to clarify, what about the 60-foot side elevation?
Granting that with that design waiver.
I'll second.
Christina?
Yes, I said I would second it.
And Mr. Chairman?
Okay, the motion is made.
I'm sorry,
Mr. Larkin.
This is something I can't take it, not having Belush right here to talk to. there's one slight modification we've already discussed with Mr. Belush. It's to F. It's just to allow the chimney as a permitted encroachment into the setback. Currently, the way F is worded is not permitted. So what we've discussed it with Michael Belush, and he agrees that a chimney is a permitted setback encroachment. So we just ask that F be reworded in a way that the chimney is permitted. Thank you. Sorry for the interruption.
Okay, Michael.
Sure. We'll make that modification. So the motion is to approve the application with that modification, including approval of the waiver for the two-story side elevation in excess of 60 feet, and a modified height waiver to allow 1 foot of additional height versus the 2 foot that was initially proposed. And the second was made by Ms. Miller. I'm going to do a roll call. Ms. Giller-Nelson?
Yes.
Mr. Diffenderfer?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
And Mr. Bodner?
Yes.
The motion passes 5-0.
We really appreciate it, but the most important topic of today was never addressed. Patrick Davidson works for me, and it's his birthday today.
Thank you. Thank you, Ralph. Thank you, Michael. Okay, moving on. Next item is the DRB 21-0645. Oh, that's a flamingo. Nope, that's not being heard today. So we're on to number 7, DRB 21-0649, 940 71st Street. Michael?
And Fernanda's going to give the staff presentation for this application.
Thank you.
Fernanda, you're on mute.
I apologize. I'm talking to myself. The next item on the agenda is DRB 21-0649, 940 71st Street. An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the partial demolition, renovation, and exterior facade modifications to an existing one-story commercial building as part of a new restaurant interior and exterior build-out. The applicant is proposing new restaurant spaces with shared kitchen and back-of-house services. As part of the commercial build-out, exterior design modifications are being proposed that will alter the appearance of the building, including the demolition of existing low walls and storefront systems in order to incorporate glass garage doors and larger windows finished in bronze metal. A slim eyebrow is also proposed to run the entire length of the street-facing facades. The design is capped off by patterned tiles that clad the parapet walls. As proposed, the design enhances the existing commercial building. Staff is supportive of the design, but does recommend that the architect remove any food counters next to and within the storefront systems, and in general finds that any food service and equipment should be set back from the storefront to allow for pedestrian transparency into the space. I will now pass it over to the applicant to present.
Good morning. My name is Gustavo Berenblum, principal of Berenblum Bush Architects, with the offices at 2200 Northwest 2nd Avenue.
You need to be sworn in.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Are you the only one presenting on this item this morning?
Yes.
Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. You may proceed. You have 10 minutes.
Thank you. If we can put the presentation in front of us, we'll proceed. Thank you. Next slide, please. So, as you may know, this project is located in 71st Street in the Normandy Isle neighborhood, and we are excited. It's a building that has been there for a while, being used as a restaurant, and we are actually renovating and converting it to activate the street, and you'll hear this word a few times in my 10-minute presentation. So it's across from the fountain, is really in the central core of the neighborhood, and the concept is really to create a pedestrian experience that activates the streets and brings life to this neighborhood. Next, please. This is the corner of Rue Vendôme and 71st Street. Across, you have the well-known fountain and small park. As I said at the beginning, the project has, the site has been used as a restaurant for many, many years. But as of late, not only because of COVID, but also with transitions in the neighborhood, it hasn't been active. And in conversation with our client, at least Florida, we've been thinking through how to bring this back and become really the life again that 71st Street is supposed to have in the near future. Next slide, please. The conversion and the renovation of the property really doesn't add any square footage. You can see on the top right, And the bottom images, it's about the same amount of space. We are not adding anything to it, but we are recalibrating the inside. Part of the issue over the years is that that restaurant has existed as a big property, and it was really difficult to find a tenant that would operate and make it successful. So the concept that you'll see here today is to bring smaller restaurants that will share a kitchen. Next slide, please. Some images of the existing. I recently was having something to eat there and a dinner on the Silver Lake restaurant that is a couple of hundred feet away. And it was nice to see in the evening sitting on the sidewalk that life is starting to begin again in this part of Normandy Isle. And we definitely want that this restaurant contributes to that life on the street, commercial life and restaurants at night. Next, please. Some more views across the street from the plaza and towards the corner and neighboring properties. Thank you. Next. And perhaps our inspiration for this project is drawn from some of the buildings in the neighborhood and some concepts that we've been discussing with our client, most notably in the upper left side, the fountain with this Spanish theme, the colorful tiles, the vegetation, then an eyebrow that similar to Trader Joe's we are bringing to wrap around the property, patterns of colors and light, signage that recalls Miami Beach, and really the signature feature on the facade is to open it to the street. The concept is really to dematerialize the facade. I mean, we know that the climate here in Florida has an effect on how much we can dematerialize the facade and for how many months a year we can do that. But if at all possible, like we've seen in several other restaurants in Wynwood, in the Design District, and also in Miami Beach, this idea of opening up to the street and when weather permits, really blending this boundary so that the inside and the outside become one. The lower image on the right is a concept of having a counter that serves on the street, in this case a project in Wynwood that recently opened, but is applicable also to Miami Beach, and that serves to activate, like I said before, activate the street and bring some life, having an interaction between inside and outside. Next slide, please. The inside of the restaurant defined here in three tones, three colors, and each one having its unique flavor. And then in gray, a central kitchen that is shared between the three concepts. So again, it's between the footprint of the existing, three concepts sharing one kitchen. It's important to note that here the sidewalk is very narrow. It's a little bit different than in other locations in Miami Beach where one can really extend out, have umbrellas and several seats outdoor. Here it is really, really narrow, and so our options to extend to the street and bringing the street inside are very limited. And that's why one of the reasons why we thought that was a good idea to have these windows that actually not only open up these garage doors, but also these counters that can serve directly to the street. Next slide, please. Views of the existing, very few fenestration, as you can see, on Ruven Dom and on the corner. Next slide. And we're trying to opening that. We're trying to dematerialize as much as possible, visually integrating the outside with the inside, and also activatingly, functionally, when weather permits. We think that this becomes like a beacon. When the restaurant is operated at capacity, and in the evening, the lights pouring from the inside will help bring life to you know, Normandy Isle, a restaurant corridor, and help revitalize the surrounding properties. Next, please. Lastly, I want to show you a couple of images. In this one, of course, the corner of Ruven Dom and 71st, and you can see how this concept that I've been talking for a few minutes about is translated into action. And also, please note the narrowness of that sidewalk, whereby it would be very difficult for us to extend seating all the way through in Ruben Dom, and that's why we think it's important to have one of the concepts, why it's important to have this counter to serve directly to the street. The pattern that you see above the eyebrow are tiles, and tiles that bring color and create a dialogue with the tiles on the fountain across the street in the public park. Next slide, please. A side view, again, with life from the inside, with light, with activity, really encouraging pedestrians to participate and be patrons on this restaurant. Actually, you know, once one looks at an image like this and says, okay, this is a restaurant maybe in other areas in Lincoln Road or other places, it would be kind of like it would be a normal conversation about another restaurant. But I want to say that in this corner and in this location, this is an important addition to the neighborhood. We really believe that it can help bring back the life that Normandy Isle deserves and help other future tenants take the same attitude and bring more life to the street. Next, please. A last image here on the corner with this cafecito or corner window. Please note that it doesn't really affect the street. It's really, in this case, in this particular counter, it's tucked in, and it can become a great place where to meet friends and start conversations as I said before, bring life to Normandy Island and to this side. And the eyebrow that is generally dimensioned in order to provide some solace from the weather and some screening from the direct rays of the sun inside. And I think that concludes the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I want to open it now to the public. If anyone wishes to come forward or speak, please raise your hand. Again, Michael, I see no one from the public.
Correct. I don't see anybody with their hand raised.
So I'm going to close the public portion and turn it over to the board for comment.
I'm happy to start. So I have to say I love this project. I love it in concept, in execution. I'm a huge fan of color. I'm very familiar with that corner, and it's a brilliant idea. It is such... Activating it is definitely, you know, something that as a member of the community, I can get really excited by. I'm glad that you clarified that the materials were tile, because my one concern was I just want it to be like this long term. I don't want a tenant to come in and decide that they want to paint it white. So that was, you know, good. And then, yeah, that was my question, you know, to maintain. I'm assuming, too, that you don't yet have restaurant tenants, or...
Yes, there are no restaurant tenants at the moment. I think the question of the tile was deeply discussed within the designers, because it's a round corner, right? And so we were debating how to do it, but we've seen so many times that, you know, these solutions get scored... concrete or scored stucco, and then it becomes great the opening night, and 3 months later somebody goes and paints over it and it changes a completely character. So, you know, tile has a tradition in Miami Beach. You know, you can go back to Lapidus and before. Tile has a tradition specifically across the street on this project, and we think it's a great addition and it's a permanent addition that will weather very well on that side. Thank you.
I'm in agreement. I think the tiles are great. The eyebrow, they should be mandated on all buildings of that era. So you put something that looks like it should have always been there instead of those awnings. So that's a great job. I'm curious as to your selection of bronze windows. Why bronze for a building of that age and of...
Okay, so that's a good question. A lot of these garage doors, we've seen them today, are black, right? And which we didn't go want to go that way. We want something that reacts with the sun, and maybe you know, we thought that bronze could change during the day depending how the sun hits, and can interact a little bit with the colors of the tiles as well, you know, with this reflection of the tiles. We've seen black and white too much, and so we wanted to go away from that and bring some warmth, because it's not only one garage door, but it actually permeates the entire facade. So it's a design element that takes over the facade in itself.
The garage doors are a great concept, for especially for North Beach. I think they're much more open to it than they might be in South Beach right now. I'm curious as to city staff, though, seems to have a problem with the counter, and I think the counter is one of the greatest ideas of this whole thing. So I wanted to hear from staff why they were opposed to a counter and a garage door opening with food service.
Michael, do you want to talk to that?
Sure. So just in general, we have been hesitant in approving any sort of open counters, especially when you have a sidewalk that's only 5 feet in width. So if you have somebody standing at the counter, especially seated at the counter, it's going to very easily block access along the sidewalk. So that is one of our primary concerns. I think the only instance I can recall in recent memory, and that was for the Firestone building on Alton Road, I believe that the DRB did approve a food service counter in that location, I think facing 16th Street, but the counter was recessed from the property line to give some room. So part of our concern was just the blocking the sidewalk and just the aesthetics of an open counter. And just for everybody's knowledge, if the board does approve the counters and the roll-down doors in this location, the Public Works Department will still have to be reviewing the ability of the applicant to get a sidewalk cafe, which would be required to have any sort of seating, even if it's for a counter that's on the applicant's property. So that's still subject to the Public Works Department. And there would not, I think the building is also on the property line. So if they were to have any sort of projections above that or into the right of way, that would require review by Public Works and possibly a revocable permit from the City Commission.
Michael, how about the counter that's in the recessed part on the other corner there?
Yeah, that's less of an issue in the recess because there is some room on the private property. But just in general, the city, we have had a very strong stance, and we've never recommended in favor of an open food counter, you know, facing right away.
Yeah, I remember the old David's Cafe on Lincoln Road, and that was such a fun little thing to have, and it added so much to the neighborhood to have that counter. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
I really take staff's consideration recommendation into consideration, but I hope we can fight for at least that recess part. I think it really adds something really special to the concept.
Yeah, you know, you can also build an argument that that this is part of the life of the street, right? And we think that this neighborhood has to be activated. We believe that this project can become a catalyst. Maybe it's very ambitious as a concept, right? There's a limit to what we can do in a restaurant. But, you know, if the idea, if the problem is that we are invading with coming out of the property line, well, we can certainly cut it so it's sharp on the property line, right? But as a patron that you want to dine there, there are not many options. We think that the concept has to be strengthened because there can only be placed two or three tables outdoor because it's very narrow. So at least if you have a pickup counter where you can, you know, quickly... We're not thinking of having 100 people out there. And a bouncer, you know, to stop you from having a cafecito. But at least if you can pick up something and you can see activity, maybe, well, that is a first step in the right direction, in our opinion.
I just want to add one more note. You know, this is sort of at the boundary of a residential multifamily district. you know, just to the south. So it's not like this is within the center of a commercial corridor. It does, the building ends here and then you transition to, you know, a low intensity residential district. So that's always our concern is activities, you know, adjacent to a residential district.
So I am in agreement that I love the concept of this and all of the aspirations. And I like the fact, I mean, it's got a pretty important corner in that neighborhood. And all of the corners there are kind of this, they're almost drawn like hides. I don't know what the right analogy is, but all of the corners are really contributing to the character of the neighborhood, and the neighbor and the other buildings that exist mostly have been painted kind of a very drab color, which just saps them of life. I really like that this project is introducing an eyebrow, adding in color, trying to be interactive with the street. I think that the street that is the Rue Vendôme is not particularly heavily used right there. I mean, if it were in the future, if this were to take off, I could almost see working with the city to do some sort of part of the paving that's not asphalt there, that it becomes more like a plaza or something like that. I do have some questions, though, and I think part of it has to do with the renderings, where I couldn't tell looking at them, so I'm glad your description filled me in, that the garage doors were operable doors, that they weren't fixed, because the renderings don't show that clearly.
Right.
The old building did have one thing with the design, which I think gets lost a little bit here, which is that it was much more horizontal, and you're switching it in the
that's correct.
Dematerialization
yes.
To a more vertically punctuated facade, which I guess is okay, especially with the black color, because it makes the verticals maybe vanish a little more easily. The black windows are less visible than the lighter colors. But I'm having a little bit of trouble, and I'm hoping that maybe you can help me understand what is the eyebrow made of? Is it a concrete and
no,
then it's attached? Because it would be hard to do.
We want to do something similar to the eyebrow in Trader Joe's. So it's a metal eyebrow.
Okay, because that's what I was a little concerned about, is that I am having a little trouble seeing the detail in this drawing.
Yes.
I used to stop at David's Cafe every morning. I think that's very consistent with the tradition of Miami Beach. Popping in, grabbing a cafecito, going on your way. I understand staff's concerns, and I think they're obligated to make them about coming into the sidewalk. I would wonder whether the windows, I think David's is actually a little bit recessed so that it can shut down to the street line.
And right.
I see one of these is recessed. I don't see that the other one is.
Yeah, the one on Rue Vendôme is recessed. The other ones are right on the property line.
Is there a reason they couldn't be?
Well, we're using the wall that is, we're working with the perimeter wall that is there, right? And so, you know, we are in keeping with that boundary or shell. But I want to make a comment about the change from horizontality to verticality on the fenestration that you mentioned. You know, that restaurant, that Italian restaurant that was there, had a more classical approach, right, where you're in or out. And you're in and you have this tall window and you know, and that's it, right? And so that was then, and maybe it worked or it didn't work because it has been empty for a while. And obviously, what we've tried to transform is through the garage doors and the opening of those garage doors and the cafecito is really, like I said before, and like you've noticed, dematerializing the boundary so that there's immediate connection, right, in atmosphere, in feeling, in food, in vibrancy, in life, that that click is made by transforming this small band of windows that perhaps never work into something that is a beacon.
I understand it, and I'm just wondering if there's a way to, maybe it's even with the painter continuing the tile of the, so that the columns maybe vanish a little bit more, because you're adding in a big horizontal element, which is really appropriate to Miami Beach, but then you're almost competing against it below. I don't know that the Trader Joe's is the right precedent to be kind of emulating for this. I think there are many more, and that was my big question, because I don't know if you can have a metal and then you can somehow successfully clad it in stucco to get, or, you know, to do something that makes it look, is this just a green, like an ESP painted?
It would be, you also touched upon a point that is correct, which we couldn't, because it's an existing building, it's unfeasible to do it in concrete,
right?
Cantilever, we would only be the typical eyebrow of
a foot or so, right?
And here it's a much more ambitious eyebrow in terms of width. So it has to be light. So the options are canvas, right, or metal. If we do it in metal cladding, it has to have a finish that is appropriate and match what we will be doing with the tiles and the wall. So there's a certain calibration of that will be as we go forward, and that I'm not able to present today to you, but it's about calibrating the interplay with those three elements that we will be working in the design development. Doing it in canvas as a stretch fabric would have been an option, but I wonder how that deteriorates over time. With the rough climate that we have here, so we are sticking to the metal concept.
So the other thing is where it's turning the corners.
Yes.
I think particularly in the back, it's actually cut at a right angle. I'm not sure which slide it is.
We can put it on the if we could put it. I think it's the last slide
where
we
have the cafecito. 13. I guess I would like to have you study a little bit more how the eyebrow works. I love the intent of it. Regarding public works, I've also worked on projects where they encroach into the right-of-way, and I think there's I think you need 16 feet underneath clear. What is the height of the eyebrow now?
Oh, at the moment it's like 12 feet.
12.
Yeah, 10, 12
so
feet.
You may be forced to raise it up, and I guess you'll find that.
Yeah.
Find that out.
But this that you're talking about, that edge, we also looked about rounding that corner.
Uh-huh.
And that's an option. That's something that we might look at. We were thinking the sweeping curve on one side, and then it dies straight. But it could be cool also to turn around having a round edge and dying against that wall. So, you know, that's... Or looking at some other termination, if that is a concern on that eyebrow.
And then the other question I had to do with the tile, and again, maybe the struggle I'm having is that it is an old building that kind of fell short. It wasn't a fantastic old building, but it was an old building, and now you're doing potentially what could make it, you know, putting in the old elements that we would want to see, particularly on the curve. The tile is not kind of tile of that time, which is okay, but also, I just want to make sure it all comes together. I don't know, is this the exact chosen tile, or is this kind of a graphic representation of what?
I have some history with tile, so I was the executive architect for the School of Architecture at FIU, which was designed by Bernard Schumi, and when we did that project, we wanted to clad the buildings with something that would be vivid, that would last the test of time, and that would change as these forms angled. I learned a lot through that investigation of materials and possibilities. We had this great technology for application of tiles here in the 50s. Everybody could put tiles. For whatever reason, we lost that tradition. And so today we have tiles that are incredible in terms of technology, right, that didn't exist 40, 50 years ago. And most of the problem with tile occurs with bad application. And you know, I don't want to enter into a lot of detail, but the tiles in itself, the options that you have today are infinite. You know, from the U.S., from Italy, from Spain, you name it. And so we are confident that we can, you know, choose tiles that are great products, that have anti-graffiti qualities, because that's also a problem in neighborhoods, and that when they are applied correctly, it's going to exalt the quality of the architecture. I have no doubt about that.
Is this a flat tile? Because there are mosaic tiles that are, you know, very small that can...
Yes,
or is this a flat tile?
It's a flat tile. It's a flat tile. It's an application of flat tiles, the time being.
And then
so it's a pattern. We are interested in exploring this pattern that we've shown in some of the images before, right? The idea of repetition, color, and not using 25 colors of tiles, but two or three that repeat in a certain pattern and become this motif that adds the character.
Well, that was because when you were referring to the so I guess I got maybe pulled off a little bit when you were looking at the references. The fountain is pretty colorful.
Yes, and you're right that it has certain three-dimensionality. It's another layer of complexity, not only in the managing the language, but also in the performance over time that we stop short to explore. We want to make sure that what we are applying works great, and we are certain that we can find flat tiles with the right pattern that can have that effect for the facade.
So I would say that the eyebrows should be studied a little bit more. I don't think that there are the same issues with the counters opening up onto Rue Vendôme as perhaps onto the larger street. And when you do talk to Public Works, I mean, there is a white hatched part of the street that could conceivably, you know, that you're not supposed to drive on anyhow. It's painted out. So I like that opportunity. I have a little bit of concern functionally with the three different restaurants using one kitchen. If one restaurant fails, what happens to the rest? And who does the cleaning if, you know, only... I mean, obviously that's out of our thing, but I guess I would think that because it's not such a main street, that coming out onto the side street isn't an issue that I'm as concerned about. The detailing is something that, you know, I guess you could work through with staff to make sure that it winds up coming together the way that it more or less looks in the renderings. Again, I think activating this part of that prominent area is going to be very exciting. And I think you have some opportunity, you may have some holdups with Public Works, but there's a large striped area where 71st Street meets Rue Vendôme that maybe you could use to your benefit somehow. Thank you for all the thorough explanations.
Thank you.
So, excuse me. You know, we look at these small projects, and if you look back at the last several we looked at, like a small bank at a funny intersection, one or two other public buildings, if you will. They serve a public function. They're accessible from the public realm, and they serve a greater function than a residential house on a side street in the urban fabric. All of those small projects were sent back to be reviewed again, and they came back better. And I think this is an unresolved project, in my opinion. For instance, the conversation just now about the tile, well, maybe it shouldn't be a flat tile and feel like a bathroom tile. And maybe the tile should change its character as it goes up higher up. And maybe this metal canopy actually is hung off the building in a particular way that is artistic. And that the metal panel includes not only graphics, but maybe lighting, and has a texture to it. I just think that there's another layer that we could go to here. And I would share the same thing about the dark windows as opposed to a putty color or a softer color that blends with the softer color at the bottom of the building. I think the window issue is a complicated one because it's privatizing the public realm. When you actually put a private concession on public space, you tend to take ownership, if you will, of that area, and you could have more than one person standing there. You could have half a dozen. And the one in the back that's recessed onto your own private property is reasonable and extremely important, I think, to have there. But I think the other ones are more complicated. It would be great if there were outdoor eating, but it's not part of our discussion here. Mm. I think more of the bodega when I think of the character that this place could have, mm-hmm. In which it really is feeling porous, but the food's sold inside, people come outside, it's got a life to its own. That's sort of where I'm at on this one.
When would you go to Public Works to talk to them? Because I think if they may change the way the building looks, could you have that discussion to find out about whether this eyebrow will be approved?
Yes. yes, I mean, I was hoping that we could... we could have these conversations with staff and not necessarily having to come back to present to you, but certainly we have to do the due diligence, right, and talk to Public Works and the powers to be.
Because if Public Works, for instance, were to tell you it has to be at a different height or that you could use that striped yes. area in uh-huh. front, that might, you know, I mean, obviously they couldn't promise it to you forever, probably, but there are many instances in which, you know, especially during COVID, pieces of the streets have been used. That might positively influence you.
Right.
You know what? Michael Belush, I'm like talking into the air here. I wonder if he could... clarify, you know, our role versus Public Works and how the things change, and if they decide that, you know, the eyebrow isn't working or whatever. Can you talk a little bit more about our relationship with them and what they do versus what we can do?
Sure. So I think that's a good question. The way we would look at this is, let's say the board, you know, approves the garage doors and the counters along the fronts, but Public Works does not approve the outdoor seating along those areas. It doesn't really affect the building design. So I think that would be acceptable. Regarding the elevation of the eyebrow, depending on what they come back with, it may not be any change. It could be a minor raising. We would work with the architect to make that design fit within the elevation. Now, if the difference is substantial, then we may determine that it has to come back to DRB for review. But I'd be comfortable with the board, you know, approving the application, provided that they're comfortable, that you guys are comfortable with the colors, the general selection of tile, and the general design. If you're okay with the garage door openings or not, that could be made part of the approval. And any sort of expanded seating in the public right-of-way is really not under the purview of the DRB. So if they can get approval to expand the seating, in the area that's striped, I think the city is going to be working on, you know, programs so that these, you know, parking spaces or unused areas, we have some sort of design guidelines in place so that when the city does authorize their use, we have, you know, established, you know, ways of how they're accessed, you know, consistency with quality materials. And I know Fernanda's actually been working on some language regarding, you know, design guidelines for these, you know, outdoor seating that would be placed, say, within a parking spot. So I think that this is a relatively minor project and minor application. The big issues are the garage doors, the access counters on the street, and, you know, we can work with the applicant regarding, you know, those final details. If the board wanted to see a continuation to look at that information, it's probably going to have to be continued to the September meeting because it's going to be difficult for them to get a resolution with Public Works by next Monday.
If it makes any difference in the conversation, you know, we're willing to recess the counters if that you believe has a positive impact on not being in right there on the street or over the street. We could we could explore recessing it slightly in that sense.
You know, based on what Michael was saying, I sort of feel like knowing this area, this neighborhood is such a gem in the rough, and I feel like anything that we can do to activate it, to give it some life, especially as everything is opening up again and the city is opening up, you know, I think this is a fantastic concept in design. I like the bronze windows. I like the garage doors. I like the walk-up counters. And I'm very confident that between the design staff that, you know, runs the DRB plus Public Works, I think that they can work out the fine details of the specifics, but I'm fully supportive of this concept and this design, and I'm happy to move forward knowing that the city staff is going to work on these concerns.
You want to make a motion?
I'd like to make a motion to approve the design.
I'll second.
Thank you. So just to clarify, that was made by Ms. Gloria Nelson, seconded by Ms. Miller. And based upon the discussion that I've heard, that would be to remove conditions D, A, which says the food counters next to and within the storefront garage door shall be removed, and remove condition B, food service shall not be permitted through a counter open to the sidewalk, and condition C, food service areas and equipment should be set back from the storefront in a manner to be reviewed and approved by staff.
Yes.
Could you say that once more? I'm sorry.
Sure. So the conditions that we're going to remove based upon the discussion would be condition D1A. This is on page 76 of the printed board packages. D1A, which states food counters next to and within the storefront garage doors shall be removed. D1B, food service shall not be permitted through a counter open to the sidewalk. And D1C, food service areas and equipment shall be set back from the storefront in a manner to be reviewed and approved by staff. So this approval would be removing those three conditions.
I think C, you had just said you could move that back.
Yes, we could slightly move it back.
How far are you
I
back?
I think that would be a new...
Well, counter's width, I think.
Yeah, the counter's width.
2 feet?
2 feet.
2 feet.
So that the front is still flat. So it's not encroaching into the
Correct.
Sidewalk's only 5
Correct.
Feet there. So to remove 2 feet, so it should go in.
Correct.
So that it can be maybe closed up.
Correct.
So the counts, we can add a new condition that the counters along Rue Vendome shall be set back 2 feet from the property line.
Correct.
Okay, so I'll do the roll call. That was a motion by Ms. Gloria Nelson, seconded by Ms. Miller. Mr. Diffenderfer?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Ms. Gloria Nelson?
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
And Mr. Bodner?
Yes.
The motion passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Two more items, I believe. Number 8 on the agenda is DRB 21-0651, which is 1688 Meridian Avenue.
Fernanda will present this item for staff.
An application has been filed requesting design review approval for the exterior and interior design modifications and tenant signage to the first floor of an existing 10-story office building. On November 1st, 2016, the Design Review Board approved an application for exterior and interior design modifications of this existing 10-story office building pursuant to file number DRB 160061. This application also included variances. The applicant is proposing tenant improvements that include signage to the northeast portion of the ground floor, where Meridian and 17th Street intersect. This original building was originally designed by Morris Lapidus. The proposed tenant is Tacombi, a Mexican taco restaurant. The entrance to the restaurant space is sited on Meridian Avenue under the recently constructed and historically accurate butterfly canopy. The application includes minor exterior improvements to the ground floor facade along 17th Street, and that is specifically to add an egress door to the west of the second retail bay. The applicant is also proposing four new signs, one above the main entrance canopy on Meridian Avenue, and three along the 17th Street elevation. The Meridian Avenue sign and the central sign on 17th Street are dedicated to the restaurant name Tacombi. The remaining signs on 17th Street, which flank the central Tacombi name sign, are smaller in size and feature additional signage to the restaurant name, respectively, Cerveceria and Taqueria. Aside from the restaurant name, staff does not support the additional signage, specifically the Cerveceria and Taqueria. However, they do support the proposed design changes.
Matt?
Hello again. Matt Amster, law firm of Burkow, Riddell, Fernandez, Larkin, and Tapanez, offices at 200 South Biscayne Boulevard in Miami. Here today representing Taqueria La Meridiana, which is the formal name, but really known as Tacombi. A new tenant for the 1688 Meridian building. They're going to be in the northeast corner of that building, and it's too bad they're not open today. I'd love to go over there and get a taco. They're a great themed Mexican restaurant. They actually started in 2006, and, you know, forget food trucks. They went right for the VW microbus to get started, and they're doing quite well. We have a presentation, if you could please call that up. With me today in person, we have Elisa Hirsch from Tacombi. I think on the line we have Joe Iazetta, and somewhere out in the world is Zach Gebel, another Tacombi person. Coda is a local architect, Wesley Keene. He is here today to help present, and assisted by Luciano Esposito. If you go to the next slide, as I mentioned...
Begin with the presentation, Matt. Do you mind if I swear on your team?
Yes, please do.
Is your team present, both in person and electronically via Zoom?
Yes. Wesley is right here, and we have Joe Iazetta should be on Zoom.
Good morning. Oh.
Good morning. Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. You may proceed.
Thank you. So Tacombi has started in Mexico. They have branched out into the U.S. They have 9 locations in New York City, including one at the Empire State Building. As you can see from the photo, you know, they take great care to fit into the buildings that they go. They don't have a standard sort of formula. They like to look at the surroundings of both the building and what it's telling them, right, to get a feel for both the building architecture and the neighborhood. And you'll see that in the design today, especially for the signage. But this is definitely a walkable location. And like I was mentioning, we could easily walk across the street here from City Hall to go there. It's also in close proximity to Lincoln Road. We do have some revised plans that we're sharing with you today. Just to clarify, we're going to have the same 3 signs facing north. None of them will be lit. But the sign that's on Meridian on the canopy facing east, which is Macy's, a commercial corridor, we do intend to have some, it's internally recessed red neon. And I believe that, and we've shared these plans already with staff, and we would just have modified conditions to allow for all 3 signs facing Meridian, the lit sign facing east, sorry, all 3 signs facing north, which is 17th, the one lit sign on Meridian, and... to include our clarifying plans as Exhibit A to ease our way through permitting. With that, I'm going to turn it over to Wesley.
Good morning. Wesley Keene, CODA Architects, 7500 Northeast 4th Court, Suite 100. Thank you all for your time today. Also, thank you for the motivation to wear something other than pajamas. The last year has been pretty incredible, but it's good to be back, seeing things get back to normal. If you could go to the next slide, please. Actually, the next slide. So Matt talked a little bit about the brand. You know, this is really an urban brand. They were born out of Mexico City, moved on to Playa del Carmen, and then kind of grew up in New York City, Manhattan, Brooklyn, and now we're branching out to other locations, Miami being one of them. This site is a very prominent location in the center of kind of Miami Beach's urban core. So you can see Lincoln Road there, which is a very pedestrian street, as you all know, and then Meridian Avenue, which connects our building to Lincoln Road, is sort of the conduit for pedestrians. Given they're an urban brand, they very much like the idea of walking, you know, pulling patrons off the street, locals from the neighborhood. There is a residential district to the north. And then we, in this building right now, are just to the top right. So if you go to the next slide, please. It's an existing Morris Lapidus building, 1961, equipped with all things fantastic from Morris Lapidus, including golded elements. There's a Brise Soleil kind of screen up at the upper levels, lots of glass, Carrara marble frames, which were once solid, but I think in 2016 there was an application that came before this board to convert those to these glass vitrines. It's also got these very gestural awnings, which was mentioned earlier in the presentation. And both to us as the architects as well as our client, it was important to preserve this as much as possible and kind of play off of this as it goes to the interior. So if you go to the next slide, please. This represents a rendering of what we're proposing. And as you can see, there's really little change to the building. We're here before you for signage, and we have a new egress door to make the life safety work inside the building. This sort of corner that you see directly is our location within the ground floor space, although we're not the only tenant. There will be future tenants. You can see that in the next plan, if you go to the next slide, please. So here you can see north is up in this image. We are at the top right of the building. There would be most likely another tenant to the left of us, to the west of us, as well as to the south. And then there's a sort of building lobby along the southern core or southern edge there. That feeds to the offices spaces that are up at the higher levels. If you go to the next slide, I think we'll get a more zoomed in view. So it's about 2,700 to 2,800 square feet of interior renovation space or tenant improvement. This is the layout of the space. Basically, there's back of house spaces along the west behind solid portion of wall, and then there's sort of an open, the majority of their kitchen is a sort of show kitchen, playing into this idea of theater in the space. And then the bathrooms are along the southern party wall there, and then there's just sort of an open dining area and bar to the right. You can see the egress, there's a sort of main entry off of Meridian, which is marked by that gestural canopy, and then there's a second means of egress at the north there. We've fought hard to kind of keep that out of the vitrine to preserve that as much as possible in the main facade, but of course, for life safety reasons, we do need a second egress door. It also swings, thankfully, the way the building was designed, there's these insets that allow our door to swing and not interfere with the right-of-way. We've been to Public Works, thankfully, we've done our homework there, so they're good with this. Of course, we still have to go through the permitting process, but we did, you know, that was such an important component that we did want to check with them first. If you go to the next slide, please. So this is a little bit more detailed elevation zoomed in to show the signage. The image on the top is the main sign that's on Meridian. This one does have lighting. It's got sort of a back channel gold lettered, you know, letters that spell Tacombi, and then inside is a red neon light. The ones along the north, however, which are the bottom image, are gold to play off the gold cladding on the building. There's two different sizes. The larger one is the name of the restaurant, and then the smaller ones kind of speaks to what the restaurant does, taqueria, etc. So if you go to the next slide, I think there's another. Yeah, so this talks about the dimensions of the signs. One thing of note is that the quantity of signage or total square footage along that north facade is below what we're allowed by right, but we are asking for not just that Tacombi sign, but the two smaller signage pieces on either end. So that's part of the reason we're here before you today. And then a good example of these are the sequence of renderings that come after these slides. If you could go to the next, please. Right, so here there's the main gestural canopy that has the kind of main Tacombi lettering, which was inspired by local historic hotels like the Carlisle. That also has channel letters with this sort of neon signage, neon lights inside of it. But on the north facade, just to emphasize, there's no lighting on the signage itself. Of course, the windows will be lit, you know, because there's activity in the space now, but nothing on the lighting, nothing on the signage. So if you go to the next slide. This shows a rendering, pedestrian view from the corner. You can see Meridian Avenue on the left and its main sign there. And then the kind of three signs that line on top of the three vitrines there along 17th Street. Next slide, please. This shows it at night. Again, you can see that the signage along 17th Street is not lit in any way, but that of Meridian, which relates to the kind of commercial corridor, is lit. And that helps us kind of let people on Meridian, I mean on Lincoln Road, know that we're here. Next slide. Please. And then this shows, we did this rendering to really give you an idea of how we believe we successfully integrated this egress door along 17th. If you were to squint your eyes, you wouldn't even know it's there, but of course it is there because it's needed for life safety, and we've done it in a way to preserve these sort of vitrines that happen along the facade and integrate into the kind of field of glass that's on either side of the vitrine. I think I can turn it back over to Matt, and we're happy to answer any questions that you all may have. Thank you.
Thank you. If you just go to the next slide, please. This is just to make some modifications about we'd like the three signs on 17th facing north to be allowed. Staff was only recommending that the central one, Tacombi, but the two sort of accent signs that are on either side, we'd like to have those included. So these are just the modifications to include that. And then at the bottom is just our reference to our supplemental plans that clarify, again, those north signs do not have any lighting. They're all the gold channel letters. And then the red neon is in the Meridian, the east-facing sign. With that, we're here to answer any of your questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. I want to open it to the public for any comments. If anyone wishes to speak, come forward or raise your hand. Michael, again, I see no one who has raised their hand.
Correct. I don't see anybody with their hand raised.
So I'm going to close the public portion and turn it over to the board for comment. Can you clarify one thing real quickly? You mentioned that the size of the north-facing sign in the middle was less than the maximum allowed.
Yeah, the city, and maybe Michael could speak to this as well, but the city has requirements in terms of total square footage.
But so the way it sounded like all three signs added up to be less than what was allowed.
That's correct.
That's correct?
Yes. Okay. The square footage of each, yes.
Thank you.
Is less.
Maybe, Mr. Chair, just to clarify, that total square footage, we're not requesting any variance. We're completely compliant with the size of the signs. What is before you today is the allowing to break up that square footage into the three separate signs on that elevation, right? That's that right-of-way facing elevation. We're creatively... providing the sense of place and pointing out certainly for people going north and south on Meridian from the park, from City Hall, for identity. Thank you.
Thank you.
I think the signs are magnificent. I love that you took the gold from the building. I love that you broke them up because they just look so beautiful in that space and appropriate. So I don't have any problem with that. No, that's it. I love how much you honored the original architecture of this building. It looks like it always should have been.
Yes.
Sam?
No, Christina.
Christina, thank you.
I agree with what Scott said. I have a question on page 26 of the PDF. I'm just curious about the level changes inside. Is that just as it exists now? It looks like outside it's just under 4. Then in the inside, when you enter off of Meridian, it goes up to 5.12, then it goes up to 6.12, and then back in the right-of-way on 17th, it's back just under 4. Is that just how it exists now?
No, this is not an existing condition, but because we require that second means of egress, we had to get down to elevation from an ADA perspective because it is right at the right-of-way property line or just a few feet away. We had to make that transition inside of our building, and we've had extensive conversations and communications with the city floodplain reviewer and building reviewer about this. Because, you know, ideally we wouldn't – that takes away some of the interior restaurant space or sellable seating space, but it's a necessary requirement for the ADA access, even on that second means of egress. If there's an existing door, you don't have to convert it to ADA, but since this is a new one that we're proposing, it has to meet the ADA requirements, even though it's a second egress door. So that's where the ramping is coming from. But that happens on – the interior side of the space, not the exterior.
And why does it go up to 6? Am I looking at, so just where the note that says the handrail for ramp referred to details is, just above that, it goes up before, it looks like the main level is a foot lower. I was wondering whether that had to do with responding.
That might be a mistake, Christina. That might be an edit. Yeah, it should be 512. It goes from...
Okay, all right. So I really like that it's opening onto 17th Street. I think 17th Street could use some activation. I know it's to meet an egress requirement, but I could see that might get some use, especially because you have the three signs there. There are planters in a lot of places. I mean, I'm almost wondering whether it might even be more interactive on that level, whether that's going to get backed up. But when you are successful, you'll find out. There was some concern about the royal palm in the city's notes. And can you talk a little bit about that? I mean, obviously, those can be bought and replanted because that happens all the time in Florida. But I just was curious.
Yeah, that's in the right-of-way. That's part of the streetscape. And we've spoken to Public Works both about the door and it's making sure the door swing, as Wesley was saying, is completely on our private property, because otherwise that would be needing permission from the city commission to approve that. We think that there's certainly it's not directly impacting the tree, so the palm should be able to stay there. And we can work with, and we've discussed with both Public Works and with the planning department about, putting a grass pave type of, ADA compliant but less invasive walkway so that the roots are not negatively impacted. We're going to have to actually identify, sighting of the door, where the roots are, but I think that everybody's on board and there's conditions in the approval already in order to address this, which we agree to save that tree. I guess at the worst case, we would just have to relocate it. We'd have to figure that out. But it looks like we should be able to keep it in place and not negatively impact it.
And they do kind of march down. I mean, they're regularly spaced, so I'm not sure relocating it would be the most preferable. I would just say that whatever material is used, because the sidewalk there is, one would wish that there were more of it, that whatever is put over it be something that's easily walked over as well.
Yeah, I know the Public Works just in general for many of these, whether it's just to try to have more green or, with nearby trees, I think the grass pave type of system, I know that there's other products that they're looking at, and whatever, we're willing to make it work and can certainly do that, which we do need. There's a right-of-way permit that'll be needed to make this walkway happen. So those conditions are in the order, and I think that will be preserved.
I move to approve the application. Go for it.
One of the other things that was mentioned in that staff had a concern about was this mosaic on the underside of the canopy. Is that, could you address that as well?
That was actually removed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And why was it removed?
Honestly, it was a design intent of the tenant, and I believe that staff wanted that cleaner existing canopy to be maintained. So we were just trying to further take into account the character and flavor of this Morris Lapidus structure and put some mosaic tiles underneath. That was in a that was basically in our first submittal. In as always, working with staff to try to come up with the best product and the best design, we agreed with them to take it out. I think the condition just is a leftover.
Does the architect want to make a case for including it?
Well,
it's not uncommon to have
tile
underneath the soffit. The Seagram building does it, for instance.
Yes.
In a big way.
You know, we were kind of conflicted on it, to be honest, because I know that this was a newer canopy that was added, I believe, in 2016, whereas the other one that existed didn't have the mosaic. So in that sense, we were, I think staff had a good point. I know that to play off the existing mosaic that's on the building, that we were really excited about that, to kind of mark this entry as something special. But I think that was the sort of internal conflict that we had. If this board doesn't object, you know, I don't know if there's a possibility that you would give us the ability to explore that with staff as we get the permit documents ready. In other words, would you all object if we did? Is there anybody here that objects to the mosaic? Or
I'm trying to understand more about it, since it's, I don't know the color of it, the size of it.
It was it was actually the same as, I don't know if you have the image, the blue mosaic that's here. I mean, look, I don't want to make things difficult. We agreed to kind of remove it, and now we're sort of living with that. So I appreciate the comment. But yeah, I think we're okay without it, because it sort of mirrors the existing historic one that's there.
Motion. I move to approve the application subject to the conditions set forth in the staff report and draft order.
Except for the, including the elimination of the signage? I believe the staff order asked to have that signage, two out of three signs on the north elevation removed, correct?
Right. We're looking for all three signs facing north, and then the sign facing east would be lit with the red neon.
Yes. I would suggest that it sounds like from the board discussion, the board is comfortable approving the application with the modifications outlined by Mr. Amster at the beginning of his presentation.
Okay. That's my motion then.
I'll second.
Motion made by Mr. Sheldon, seconded by Mr. Dufferdorfer. And just to be clear, that does include all the signage. Yes. All the signage facing north and 17th Street will be non-illuminated. The only illuminated signs will be facing Meridian Avenue. Do the roll call, Ms. Giller-Nelson?
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Diffendorfer?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
Mr. Bodner?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, last item on the agenda is DRB 21-0655, 4747 North Bay Road.
Okay, this next application, as you mentioned, Mr. Chair, is DRB 21-0655, 4747 North Bay Road. This is an application requesting exterior and interior design modifications to a previously approved design review approval for the construction of a new two-story home to replace an existing pre-42 architecturally significant home. The original application for this property was approved by the board in December of 2018. And in June of 2019, the DRB approved variances for an associated pool and deck in the rear yard. The applicant is now proposing exterior modifications to that previously approved application. The approved residence is an elevated two-story structure with a design floor elevation of BFE plus maximum freeboard or 13 feet NGBD. The understory level has been modified to incorporate louvered storage area spaces. There were once walled berms. The area of the first and second floor plans have increased, and a new rooftop deck with a trellis is also proposed. Additionally, the elevations have been modified to accommodate the changes in plan, and specifically the removal of a first floor balcony on the east interior side elevation to expand the air conditioned space, which is now clad with coral stone, and minor tweaks along the front and rear elevations that maintain the essence of the originally approved design, including the materials. Staff is generally supportive of the design changes. We did note some additional recommendations regarding some suggested modifications to the front elevation, including increasing the depth projection of the concrete frame and recessing further the glazing walls and screen in order to strengthen the impact of the frame. And we believe that that change would be more consistent with the effective design that was originally approved by the board back in December of 2018. We also recommending a reduction of the side driveways to 10 feet in order to reduce the extent of pavement on site. With those recommendations, we are recommending that the application be approved. I believe the architect is online virtually, Mr. Ames, for the presentation.
Yeah, Mr. Ames. 203 Dixie Boulevard, Delray Beach, Florida. And my associate, Paula.
Mr. Ames, before you begin, do you mind if I swear in your team?
Sure.
Do you swear under oath that any and all testimony that you give in this proceeding is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. You may proceed. Put 10 minutes on the clock.
Okay. As we said before, the original presentation was approved in 2018. And then they got a variance a year later, a year and a half later, for raising the backyard up. The property was subsequently sold to a new owner, and the changes on the plan are per the new owner's request, bringing it up the square footage up to exactly what's allowed by code, slightly under. The original box of the house, 95% of it is identical to what was approved originally. We just enclosed some of the gratuitous covered walkways around the house and adjusted some of the basement area where the original plan did not allow for adequate backup or maneuvering of the automobile for the parking area under the house. Also, we removed some of the walls back there and put in louvered walls. That was a theme on the house, bringing down to the basement area to get rid of some of the walls in there that did not allow that, and making storage areas out of those. Can you go to the slide, starting at slide number one? Yeah. This is basically identical to the existing approval. We have added on the rooftop, a rooftop deck with trellis per the requirements. On the first floor of the house, there was a walkway that ran down the left side of this, down the side that we enclosed to create the furnishable rooms. Basically, the rest of it is identical to what was originally approved. Next slide, please. Next slide. The house has already been torn down. It's been down for quite a while. Let's go to the next slide, please. This is the vacant lot, and you can see with the second floor, or the third floor rooftop view we would have over the waterway there. Next slide, please. Conditions of the existing lot as we, my client received it. Next slide, please. The neighborhood surrounding. This is some of the original plans or photos as well. that were submitted in the original package. Next slide, please. The previous charts and the new charts outlining exactly what we changed, they are represented in the next slide, please. It shows on the where we adjusted things slightly. We took the driveways and brought them away from the building. They were butting right up against the building, so you could not have a proper turning radius to get in even under the house. So we pushed those over to the from 5 feet from 6 feet. And we increased the width of the driveway to 12 feet to be able to get proper turning. And it's difficult because it's running down the sides of the house and under the house that turning into the property. We basically kept most of the front entrance way identical to where it was. We have moved, which he shows on the previous site plan, air conditioners, which were cantilever out over the second floor, and we placed those all up on the roof. The pool was slightly adjusted, making it a little bit wider, closer to the house, but in the same location, in the same access way. Next slide, please. The new ground floor.
You can go back one slide.
Go back one slide, please. See, on the ground floor, a variance was given on this project to allow for a raised pool and raised backyard. That was put into these plans, and which alleviated the necessity to have a secondary wall in the garage in the back and the bottom. So we turned those spaces into storage areas, and we clipped and pulled back some storage area by the staircase, allowing for a turning radius that you could actually get into the space. Next slide, please. This main area, you can see on the first floor on the bottom of the drawing, there was a walkway that ran all the way from the front all the way to the back of the house. We incorporated that area, which was already under roof and enclosed, to the house itself, and pushed out the rear of the family room, keeping it in within the exact same box that was there before in 3D. Next slide, please. The top floor was just pushed out on the two, the top and the bottom, to the rear. And there was, on the original house, there was a flat roof area that ran all the way around this project you could not get to. So we pushed the balcony railings out to that location. And then we provided an internal elevator going up to the rooftop and a staircase, which is underneath the skylight, which is only 5 foot high piece, which is per code for a skylight. Next slide, please. There we go. This is the rooftop deck from what the previously was none. We provided that with a retractable trellis system up there and the plantings, and hid everything by louvered screens and planting all the way around the thing. Next slide, please. This is just the square footage. We brought the square footage up to comply with what is allowed by code. Next slide, please. The lower level, as we pulled out the, you can see the filled area, which made no sense in the maneuvering area, keeping the moving the structural column so you could actually maneuver in without smashing into everything. Next slide, please. The top area, again, we did not make the house larger volumetrically, but the interior of the house is larger under the existing roof areas. Next slide, please. Top floor, the same thing, we pushed out onto the existing roof areas in the rear only, being the front and staying the same. Next slide, please. Rooftop area, everything complies to the square footage requirements of the size below, enclosed area below. Next slide, please. Previous calculations in comparison to the new calculations, all within code requirements. We have no problems with any of this. Next slide, please. New volumetrics showing the relationship of the house stacked on top of one another. The front elevation is still the same with the earth mounted up under the front as per the original design. Next slide, please. These are the original material boards that were given, and we kept with all of the original materials and details that were approved previously. Next slide, please. This is the new front elevation, basically identical. The only thing that is different is the left bottom window and the new trellis on the rooftop. This is indicating without any plants or anything around it. Next slide, please. The new rear elevation, with the elevated pool, and the rooftop deck with the louvered grills hiding the landscaping and the air conditioners up there. Next slide, please. The new areas that were enclosed via elevation, but the elevation is the same. The area to the right, we pushed out and detailed with the same box area with glass rail on top of it. And that is the was an extension on that side of the house, which came down over the garage door, which houses the new wine room, all within the square footage requirements of the house. Next slide, please. The rear, again, we adjusted the railings, pulled them out to the exterior. On the right side of this drawing, we expanded the family room out and brought more glass in. And in the center, we have the glass rail, which prevents you from dropping down to the pool. And the new rooftop area. And the cabana back on the left side. Next slide, please. That was the old elevation of the rear. If you go back to the, you see the area on the right used to be open. It's now painted glass, but the box and the form and shape and volume of the whole building is identical. Next slide, please. This elevation on the ground floor was a louvered wall, and we continued the stone down the whole side and put clear story windows to keep the privacy from the neighbors. And then on the ground floor of this, we introduced the louvers that were above. And on the second floor is the new glass railings that run around, and then on top is the new rooftop. Next slide, please. This side, the only difference is the box on the right side that has the window. That was extended to the front of the house by 8 feet. And then we added the, adjusted some of the windows and added louvers. Same materials that were approved previously. Next slide, please. Cross section showing what was added on the side and in the front. Next slide, please. The same in the volumetrics. We pushed out the on the cross section on the right side, on the second floor, on the two ends, and then on the end where the family room is on the first floor. Next slide, please. This also shows the relationship of the pool to the house from the previous. We took out the dirt that was halfway filled up on the one side there and pushed it back to where the pool is now. The pool was elevated, and they did not redesign the house to accomplish that variance to make sense out of it. Next slide, please. The section on the pool, that was the previous one. The pool was given a variance and elevated up. Next slide, please. Does regular calculations for cubic yard grade calculations, everything are according to code. Next slide, please. The new front view, which shows the landscaping. And the landscaping is basically the same landscaping that was approved prior as well. And that concludes our presentation. Any questions? Oh, sorry. There's one more slide. Next one, please. Rear. Here's with the landscaping on top and wrapping on the sides, with the pool and the steps coming down. And that concludes our presentation.
Thank you. I'm going to open up now to the public, and anyone who wishes to speak, raise your hand or come forward. And Michael, again, I see no one.
Correct. I don't see anybody wanting to speak.
So I'm going to close the public portion and turn over the board.
So this is a modification to a previously approved application. Barring any comments from anyone else, I'm prepared just to go ahead and approve.
Well, I'd be curious to know, the staff has made two recommendations at the end of their report. Michael, could you just go through both of them, the 10-foot driveway and the other design issue for the
So we're just asking the driveway be reduced to 10 feet and that the front elevation be further refined. If you look at the rendering, the elevation of the second floor, especially with the louvers and the glass, is very flat. Originally, there was some depth and some slight recess of the louvers and the windows. And so we're just asking that that elevation be further refined to recess the louvers and the windows to create a stronger surrounding frame. It's not going to be as strong as the first floor elevation, which is a higher projection, but just a stronger frame element with a shadow line. We think that will be more successful and be more consistent with the renderings that were originally shown when this application was approved.
And is the applicant willing to accept those two comments, recommendations?
No problem. With the recess of the front louvers back door, that's probably an error in the rendering. It was intended to be the same as it was, which was recessed back. Now the driveway, we did decrease the driveway from 12 feet to 11 feet. We feel that 10 is too tight to be able to do the maneuvering that we need to do in there.
I mean, for a compromise, I would suggest that the board understands that we say within the first 30 feet, the driveway shall not exceed 10 feet. And then you could widen out to what you're showing.
I actually have a comment about the design.
Yeah.
Please, Christina.
Oh, she can go first, that's fine.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Can't tell with the voices.
Yeah. I actually have some concerns about the rear elevation. This property is not on the water side. It is, on the land side, and there's neighbors immediately behind, and it's all windows. I know if I was the neighbor, I would not like suddenly this very tall home, all windowed, facing onto my property. So that is a deep concern that I have about the design.
And I agree with staff, though I guess it's just got resolved about the recessing and the extending of the frame on the front.
Could you go
ahead? Mr. Chairman, if I could just clarify that the when this application was originally approved by the board back in December of 2018, it did include all glass, continuous glass, on both the first and second level facing the rear elevation. So the change here that they're proposing is very minor in terms of what compared to what the board looked at previously.
So are we beholden to what was already approved?
Well, I think it'd be difficult now to require a substantial limitation of the glazing, since what they're showing is consistent. Like that elevation is not why we brought them back to the board. In terms of staff's concerns, or reason for bringing them back to the board was the expansion of the first floor by closing what was previously approved as a open walkway, as well as the introduction of the rooftop deck and trellis. Those are the primary substantial changes that staff, you know, brought the applicant back to the board. We feel that the glazing in the back is substantially consistent and the side elevations are substantially consistent with what the board approved previously. And we didn't receive any public comment, I believe then or now, regarding the rear elevation.
I make a motion to approve.
I think Christina wanted to.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Michael, I think this is back to you. So we're not supposed to be really looking at the design right now, only the modifications to the design from the when it was last approved to now?
Yeah, it's really appropriate. We're not bringing back the entire project for review.
Okay.
It's really just looking at the modifications that were made. I don't think it would be appropriate to make wholesale design recommendations or requirements for portions of the project that they're not substantially proposing to change at this time.
So do you have a complete, or does staff have a complete landscape plan that you've been working through? I'm realizing that the awkwardness of this is that we're looking as a comparison between the old and the new, and I think that's why the presentation was a little bit maybe more difficult for us who hadn't seen it originally. I would have asked some questions about landscape, et cetera. Is that, and actually the black glass, that's all been dealt with and we're not to comment. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, they're not proposing to change the landscape plan. And the black glazing, I said not the glazing, the dark frames were part of the previous approval.
Okay. Thanks.
I think like the architect has indicated that the materials and finishes are going to remain substantially as the board previously approved.
Okay, so I'm making a motion to approve the application as modified, subject to the condition, Michael, that you articulated with respect to the driveway.
And the front facade?
And the front facade.
Okay, is there a second? Sorry, maybe I missed it. Was there a second?
So let's open this up to discussion. We understand from each of you why you won't second this motion. Starting with Sam.
Well, I made the motion.
So. Okay. Starting with Sarah.
Honestly, I'm not crazy about the design, but it seems that, you know what, I guess also I'm not clear, was the roof deck also part of the modification?
Yes.
The addition of the roof deck?
Yeah, the roof deck is new.
But that's not something that staff had an issue with. It's all according to code and everything.
Correct. We just had some additional conditions listed in the order to ensure that it doesn't exceed the code required percentage of the enclosed floor below.
Christina?
I guess I'm also not, you know, crazy about the design, but it's a single family house. My concern, you know, in a neighborhood that would be planted out, my biggest concern is, I think, how it's, again, these big expanses of glass and how they're looking, especially at the rear, into the neighbors, and I haven't seen a landscape plan, but I'm assuming that a landscape plan was already submitted and we just didn't see it.
They're not changing the landscape plan that was previously approved.
Is it in the packet? And I just, is there, what page of the packet is the landscape plan?
I thought the presentation, I think you made it, Christina.
Submit the landscape plan as it was previously approved.
Okay, Christina, I think you made the point before. I think the presentation was poorly done in terms of addressing the issues that we were being asked to review. There were actually very few that we were actually being asked to review. And they're primarily related to the expansion of the floor plan on the first and second floor. And if they just singled those parts out and kind of erased the rest of the drawing or shadowed it out, it may have been a lot easier for us to focus on those parts. I remember this project having to come back more than once in its original form because of the variance being requested for the pool, I think, Michael, correct?
That's correct. And just everybody's aware, there was a landscape plan submitted. I'm trying to pull it up. It's on the website.
The front elevation looks like it was addressed and the landscape was added in very carefully. There's no plan and it's not showing in the rear. That's why it's a little bit confusing where the rendering is taken from.
We had the landscaping on the rear originally and you couldn't see the house.
Yeah. Yeah, so in other presentations, we've been given a with and without to solve that problem, because that is, I understand for sure, that you put in the landscaping and then you can't see it. So Michael and Shane, you're saying it's fully planted out?
Yeah, there's nothing to look at in the back at all. We want to block that out and give complete privacy to the backyard.
I'm sorry, once
there
again?
There is a landscape. There is a landscape plan submitted as part of the application. I'm just looking to see what's proposed along the back. Give me just 1 minute. They're proposing 24-foot tall Montgomery palms along the back. But the, like I said, the landscape plan is not part of this application per se. It wasn't identified as a change that required coming back to the board.
I do want to note that I am the second architect. I took over this project 5 months ago from the original architects. And we took over all of the existing plans and the existing landscape structure and everything.
So is it an outdoor room is created beyond the pool and it's fully planted out? So that there's...
Fully planted out.
Okay, because architecturally it opens into the neighbor, so it really does depend on the landscape plan to create that buffer. Okay, I understand. Thank you.
I think also, Michael, what we're a little confused about is, at least certainly on the front elevation too, that, you know, there is this design modification, and while I think that adding that the deeper frame will certainly help, I feel like the front facade is still very unresolved. It doesn't seem very balanced. or thought through. That's at least my concerns with, you know, and why can we approve or deny one change but not any others? I think that's what I'm struggling with.
I think one of the changes here is that you had a prior architect with a prior rendering and prior, you know, aesthetic with that rendering. And now you have a new architect coming in and, of course, using different methods for rendering. So the building is going to look different. But in the end, in terms of the massing, what they're proposing is not a substantial change. And I think, like what the architect stated, it appears that there were some mistakes in the rendering that was provided, as he indicated that there is supposed to be that depth between the framing elements of the second floor and the glazing and the wood slats.
On page 34 is one rendering of the front elevation, and then on page 21, there's another rendering of the front elevation. Which is the latest version?
Page 34 is the correct one. Is there another one? Yeah.
But the plantings and landscape of page 21 are retained.
Yes. We were unfortunately not given or transferred over the original 3D drawings or the program. Our architect refused to send those over, so we had to recreate everything as best as we could on a different program.
Yeah, I can see how you were put in an awkward an awkward position on this, and I understand how we're looking at it differently than probably the city would be looking at it, where they would want to be seeing one versus the other, whereas since we, most of us, hadn't seen the first one, it threw us off a little bit.
Page 34 is the correct rendering.
It's the correct building, but page 21 building is the correct landscape.
I think it's 34 is the correct one. Because that has the trees in the front up against the house. The 21 was removing the trees, so you could see the full house. But 34 is what's represented on the landscape plan, which is...
So my opinion is it's a, you know, as long as it doesn't bother the neighbors, if this is what the owner of the house likes, fine, if it's not breaking any codes. I don't particularly love it, but I would like to see the public fronts and the where it faces the neighbors and the street have it be landscaped well, and I'm a little bit at a loss because I understand why now. We weren't shown those plans. If it were, you know, landscaped out the way page 21 says, I would say fine, because it's not asking for anything. It's just compliant, and if the owner likes it as it is, you know, I don't think it's a huge contribution, but it's, you know, that's my concern, is really how does it impact the city as a whole. I don't think this negatively impacts the city. It's just been hard to follow. So, you know, apologies for all the questions, but I think you were put in an awkward situation as well, which I understand.
So I'm going to renew my motion to approve the application subject to the condition Michael articulated with respect to the driveway and the front facade.
Is there a second?
I'd second it.
Seconded by Mr. Diffendorfer. I'm going to do a roll call. Ms. Giller-Nelson?
Yes.
Ms. Miller?
Yes.
Mr. Diffendorfer?
Yes.
Mr. Sheldon?
Yes.
And Mr. Bodner?
Yes.
Motion passes 5-0. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
So we have a motion for adjournment.
I so move.
Thank you.
I second.
Go ahead, Christine.
Question for Michael.
Your speaker on?
Sorry, I'm not on. Michael, are you still there?
Yes.
I just wanted to make sure when we were looking at Star Island that they said that they would look into, and we talked about it, and then when I think you reread it, it didn't say that they would explore the possibility of going off-grid. I just wanted to make sure that that was...
I heard that. I heard that condition, that acceptance.
It is in there? Okay. Thanks.
Adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.